Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was.
That is the open disdain of this corrupt elite that wants to rip you off. Trump's trying to reform it.
This is why we want Jack Smith in front of our committee in a deposition format after we get the documents, and we can ask him some of the same questions we ask his deputies that they took the fifth to. Like a simple question, was this a political operation you guys are running against President Trump? I exercised my Fifth Amendment liberties. How many other members of Congress did you spy on? I exercised my Fifth Amendment liberties. Those are the kind of questions we want to ask Jack Smith and see what kind of answers we get from the guy who ran this whole operation.
H.R. 5371, the Continuing Appropriations Act, passed by the House on November 12, 2025, in a 222-209 vote to end the 43-day government shutdown that began on October 1, 2025. The public will only really learn of an H.R. 5371 that guarantees back pay with interest for furloughed federal workers, bans federal layoffs through January 2026, and provides $29 billion in disaster relief, $5.7 billion for border security, a two-year debt limit suspension through January 2027, and extensions for CHIP and community health centers. And then begins the gray area. Section 781, backed by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, long funded by the liquor industry, effectively banning hemp products like Delta 8 and THCA, threatening 95% of the $30 billion market, 300,000 American jobs, and $1.5 billion in state revenue. And as Americans suffered as leverage.
Of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously, but it is one of the few leverage times we have.
The hog trough was filled. The bill also includes $10 billion for shipbuilding, $2.5 billion for missile defense. You see, $12.5 billion in defense pushed through pre-allocated funds to specific shipyards in powerful lawmakers' districts, bypassing competitive bidding and waiving Buy American rules for favored contractors, allowing a slew of foreign contractors to take those bids. Pork barrel politics benefiting politicians and donors, not the taxpayers. Most controversially, a rider in Section 957 appropriates for a special counsel fund, allowing GOP senators and representatives that were targeted in the Arctic Frost investigation to sue the Department of Justice using taxpayer dollars. Essentially, retaliatory legal warfare funded by the public, while platforms like InfoWars are hung out to dry.
By shutting down the Alex Jones investigation Ed Martin was trying to look into, is covering up for Arctic Frost criminality.
Let's go further. We have the documents the DOJ illegally funded it. That's what Todd Blanche killed. Now this is a cherry on top of Todd Blanche protecting now Arctic Frost.
We have ties between George Soros and the Sandy Hook-funded lawsuits. We have ties between George Soros and all of the NGOs engaged in riot campaigns, including the so-called No Kings movement. So you aggregate this, but why isn't George Soros being looked at? Is it because Scott Bessent got rich through George Soros?
What you're seeing is the cover sheet or the opening for the case of Arctic Frost. And the names that you'll see on there are Brian Turner, who's gone, and Jason Jones, who's gone, and Luis Quesada, who's gone, and Steve D'Antuono, who's gone, and Tim Tebow, who's gone, and Paula Bate, who was the deputy director, and he's gone. What you don't see are the names that are redacted, and those redacted people still work for the FBI.
They're literally saying, "We're find any crime, get them." I can't believe they admitted this on record. Like, this is total weaponization admitted.
No, I mean, look, they tried to destroy the people whose voices are the loudest. This is why they came after InfoWars. That's why they've gone through all these bogus, defamation actions, which all you ever did was exercise your First Amendment right.
The retroactive potential to have dollars going to United States senators when we've got American citizens, whether it was J6ers, whether it was people from the FACE Act, whether it was others that have also had the full force of the federal government through the Department of Justice targeting and coming down on them. And they're going to see, oh, but you can slide in a provision in here for United States senators. Like, it is beside my comprehension that this got put in the bill. And it's why people have such a low opinion of this town.
John Bound reporting for Info.
I'll be here Friday and Monday. while Brianna takes a bit of a respite. She might be popping in, though. She sent me a text this morning about a DHS situation where Kristi Noem stuck her foot in her mouth once again. We will cover that. You saw the John Bowne report earlier about what was in this supposed clean CR, including the regulations that are going to destroy the hemp industry. Here it is from High Times, something we usually don't read or cover on InfoWars, the High Times publication, but Trump signs shutdown deal to recriminalize hemp, starting a one-year race to rewrite the rules. Donald Trump has signed the bill that ends the longest government shutdown in American history and sets in motion the return of federal prohibition for most hemp-derived products. The Senate passed the package on Monday. The House followed on Wednesday. Inside the hundreds of pages that fund critical agencies sits one of the most dramatic drug policy reversals the United States has seen in years. And if you're on X, you could see different the small businesses, these hemp either farmers or distillers or packagers or resellers, they're getting mad. They're definitely getting mad, and they have a right to be. And this is going to be an interesting one-year time. In order to get this reversed. But who is it brought by? Mitch McConnell. One of his parting shots of leaving the Senate is to throw a little bone to the alcohol companies, because you see drinking's down. Oh, drinking's down. Why? Because people are finding other alternatives to relax. People are looking at the debilitating health effects of binge drinking. And they're going, you know what? I don't need to do this. I don't need to go out, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week and get plastered and feel like crap the next day. And so what do they do? I think this is a 2-for-2. I think it's tobacco and the alcohol industries wanted this back in. And hey, let's throw Big Pharma in there too, because a lot of people are taking CBD for pain, CBD to help them sleep, CBD to wake them up. There's CBDs for almost any type of ailment you have out there, and people are using it. People are using CBD and hemp oil. Some people are using you take like the really good sativa bud and you distill an oil out of it. I think they called it, it was somebody's tears. Some guy came up with the process, and people are using that for cancer treatment. And they've been using that for years. You guys look that up, please. It's like Phoenix Tears, I think. I think it's Phoenix Tears. And look up the guy who made it, because all this stuff is now going to be, once again, federally illegal, instead of letting the private market determine, let people determine what they want to put in their bodies. Rick Simpson, that's what it was. Rick Simpson, thank you. Yes, Rick Simpson. I mean, a lot, and that's like from the 90s he was helping people out. But I'm going to go ahead and bring on our first guest, because I think we got a lot to talk about. This is Farmer Mike from Jennings Clean Farm. He put out a tweet yesterday. I saw it and I said, hey, I'm going to be hosting the American Journal tomorrow. You want to come on and talk about it? Because I think this is an important, this is a, you know, 300,000 employee industry across the United States. It's probably more. I'd say it's probably closer to 500,000. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. I think some of the reports I heard is over $20 billion a year in hemp and CBD type products, and even legal marijuana, medical marijuana. This is a big industry, and it's cutting into the profits of Big Pharma. So I think this is one of the deals to end this shutdown, was, you know, Mitch McConnell is going to try to shoehorn this in. Farmer Mike, are you there from Jennings Clean Farm over in New Jersey?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. I know we had a little time zone issue, but you're here with us. Why don't you tell people, let's get into the bill, what it states. There's a lot of weirdness in this bill, too. I think there's something about $500,000 that they could give to each senator for being spied on. There's all kinds of weirdness in the supposed clean CR. But one of the big things here is they're going after the legal hemp, the CBD industry, which will then lead into the legal THC industry. So why don't you give us your distillation of it, and then we'll cover these different tidbits. High Times put out a good tweets thread about it, and an interesting article about it too, just covering the whole process and what it's going to take for people to do to turn this around. But I'll give you the floor.
All right. So, you know, you look at these things in a whole bunch of different factions, but I don't think it's too extreme to say that this is a an extinction event for the hemp industry. And when I say that, legal, not legal, Delta 8, synthetics, the whole thing, and then people like us, what we do is we take the whole plant, and we believe in a holistic approach. We take that plant, we make sure it's below the 0.3% level. It's tested by the state of New Jersey, and then we test it independently on our own. And then our license covers cultivation, clearly harvesting, processing, drying, curing, and then also wholesaling and retail sales. So we have a pretty good understanding about the entire industry from start to finish. And one of our taglines is seed the shelf. So we knew early on that when we started this process, that there was a lot of nefarious players in the industry. And so there we are. You know, the first thing that you see on our website is, do you trust your cannabis? The ladybug represents a holistic approach. So we don't use herbicides, fungicides, insecticides. And the only manure that we use would be all clean manure. We primarily go for alpaca and rabbit because it gives us the right NPK ratio. So from start to finish, we take the product ourselves. And then we supply to our friends, our family, and our community. So we're not in the big business side. But we do believe that somebody like us, the sneakiest part of what was introduced into the bill, and this is why I say it's an industry extinction event. The death blow wasn't the 0.3% or clarifying Delta 8 synthetics, all of that material. I think everybody gets it and wants it out of the hands of kids. Everybody agrees. The state of New Jersey agrees on their own, and they have mandated through the governor's office that all Delta 8s and any synthetics have to be sold through a dispensary already. So New Jersey's got that part figured out. They don't need the federal government. What the federal government just did intentionally, and there's only two things that this could be, it's either stupidity or unintentional. The 0.4 milligram THC per container is the death blow. So what that means, just to give people a visual picture, 0.4 milligrams is a half of a grain of table salt. And I don't mean like coarse salt or, you know, kosher salt, like all that stuff is even bigger. A simple grain of Morton salt, cut that in half. That's exactly what that level is. It's an impossible feat to keep the product whole, the intention of the first farm bill, and still process anything unless it goes through a lab. They've created something that can only go through a lab now, and no holistic process can happen.
So it's basically industrialization of the product, mass industrialization. So taking it like you would make seed oils where you have to put all kinds of crap in it and then leach it off all these nasty chemicals, which seed oils are bad for you anyway. But like for you to get a product to sell, you'd have to start doing these types of processes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'd have to do, and I can't do the process. I mean, it would take probably a few $100,000 of equipment and specialized knowledge to be able to separate. What you're doing is you're taking the plant and you're putting it through a process, a lab process. They call it a film process in some regards, but you're separating all the cannabinoids. And so you're taking out THCs. All of them are separated, including CBD by molecular, how I understand it, by molecular weight. Then you're taking that isolate and getting it sent back to us, and then we can then add it to an oil or a tallow or something else. It's an impossible feat for us to be able to do this on our own. Not only that, but there, because this is so new, the research isn't out. There are some studies that are saying that you can't even separate an isolate, a CBD isolate, effective enough to not qualify for this 0.4 milligram, depending on your dosage size. So when you're using isolates, you're actually trying to boost up the amount of cannabinoids that are in whatever you're trying to sell to somebody else. So we do that through a different process. There's an alcohol process where it will actually distill, and you can triple distill and do winterizing. And then if you do it through an oil process, you can actually do it through heat, but you'll have to do multiple cycles of that to boost up the amount of CBD that you would want in something. So a product like ours, we would have to, we try to sell things in 30-day doses because it's easier for people and it's more symbolic of what the industry normally does through pharmaceuticals. So it's a relatable tactic. So you'll take 30 gummies, you'll put them in daily supply of 20 milligrams. What that would mean is we would have to physically cut each gummy in half, individually wrap them, and sell them in different containers to qualify under something like this. It's literally impossible and price prohibitive. The industry is dead.
So it's sort of like a biblical thing, too. You have to lead the camel through the eye of the needle in order to get a product that you could sell. And then on top of that, pay for all this extra packaging, which packaging costs, you know, can add up very quickly. And then you have to do multiple processes. So you're having to pay on the back end more, then you're having to pay more labor, and then pay on the front end with when you go to retail.
Yep, that's exactly right. Even the fiber guys aren't thinking this through. Like, so they're saying, oh, this is intended. Fiber is fine. A herd is fine. You look at the size of what bedding would be, right? So you sell these 50-pound bags. You're telling me there's no dust from trichomes that are going to fall into that? I mean, you have a 50-pound unit of something, the dust alone from processing the hemp to get to the stock. Now, I've been arguing with people about this quite a bit. I feel very strongly and founded in this. So what will happen through the fiber process, first of all, the machinery is not even ready. So you're growing 16-foot stalks, which is great biomass. It's great for carbon sequestration. All the science is there for how good it is for the environment. However, the machines right now, the average machine can only process somewhere between 8 and 10 feet. So you're cutting your crop early. And then you also have to strip off the leaves and if there's any flowering that happens. That's where all the trichomes are. So yes, there's not any in the stalks. There's not any in the fiber or the herd, the center portion of the unit. But the same factories that are stripping them down are the ones that are chopping them up and baling them. So unless they get an exemption for paper, for fiber, for clothes, I'm not saying the end product will have it in there, but every step along the way, it's going to have to be tested. And you're going to have to clean the product before it gets through. So it's already more expensive. If you go try to buy a ream of hemp paper, it doesn't have the economies of scale of standard wood paper does right now. So, you know, what's the cost going to be? Nobody's going to pay for that. And then you got to buy specialized equipment, and nobody's going to be growing hemp because the money is in flour right now until the rest of the market catches up. It's literally a killer. It's done.
Wow.
Our only chance is that states don't comply. And that's a whole nother thing. So now somebody like us falls under the protection of the 2018 Farm Bill. Therefore, we're protected by the New Jersey Right to Farm Act. Once that goes away, like the marijuana guys in New Jersey can grow marijuana legally in the state of New Jersey. It's still not federally legal. So they don't fall under any farming protections of the Farm Act. So now you're subject to any town, municipal, county ordinances that might not like it, the smell of it in the air, or they want to make it an indoor grow now. Well, you know, hemp doesn't get the price. Even flower or processed product doesn't get the price that a marijuana does. So it goes away. Everything goes away.
And there you've got an industry that's trying to rebuild itself. We used to grow hemp in the 40s. They were saying grow hemp for freedom to make rope. You know, it's not like this is something new. The American flag has been made out of hemp. I think the Declaration of Independence is signed on hemp paper. I mean, let's just...
Yeah, the first drafts for sure. Yeah.
And so
you're I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're showing a picture of grain. I mean, you look even at the grain industry. Here's the other problem. Like, all these other countries that are more reasonable, they're going to get all the farming. They're going to get the money from it. They're going to get the processing from it. You can get isolates from China and India with heavy metal. And then you look at grain. I'm not making this up. And it varies quite a bit. There's not real data on it. But it's something like, it's a 33-to-1 import to domestic product on grain. So if you go to Whole Foods or wherever, you've got a 33% chance more chance to actually get grain that's not even domestic. So the grain farmers, hemp farmers, which we've been looking into, they're not even ready for something like this.
So it's cutting an industry off at the knees even before it gets going, as it was been trying to flourish since 2018, which is something Trump put in the bill. And, you know, and he even recently put out a video about CBD and how it's helping people. So I don't know how this thing snuck through. Does he even know about it? That would be interesting to find out. You know, Rand Paul was bitching about it on the Senate floor because he's and Thomas Massie both were. But who's over there? Mitch McConnell, Kentucky. He's also from Kentucky, but he's there doing his one last bidding for the Chinese.
These guys are so crafty. Like, you're dropping this now down to a Schedule 1 drug, right? Like, Now you're looking at this thing the way you look at heroin and LSD. You don't even put it as Schedule II, where you're right next to cocaine and crack. So what does that do? That basically halts. That makes even research nearly impossible for an average lab without tons of red tape and 8 or 9 different agencies who are going to have to rubber stamp it. And, you know, if they don't want this to happen, clearly they're not going to rubber stamp it. So you can't even get to the point now, if this gets scheduled as it, well, it did, it I guess in 365 days, it'd be a Schedule I. I mean, what does that even mean? Like this is beyond. And the worst part is the U.S. government has a patent on the health benefits. So Schedule I drug is something that we consider no health benefits whatsoever in the world. So the U.S. Department, the United States government has a patent on the health benefits of this product, cannabis, since 1981. And now they're trying to tell us that there's no health benefits whatsoever. Let's put it right next to heroin. Are they out of their minds?
Yeah, it's like, what's that movie you are putting out there? It's it was a marijuana movie. Yeah, Reefer Madness. Like, we're going back Reefer to that. Madness. It's almost going backwards in time. It's you know, creating this thing. And I can see, you know, you look at some of the packaging of some of these products, and to me, it looks like it is kind of geared towards younger people. Like, hey, look at this flashy thing. And I can see, hey, we're going to regulate, we're going to make packaging look dull and bland. People know what they're getting. So I can see a small bit of, you know, hey, let's look at our packaging, let's self-regulate. But you've got these just infinitesimal numbers that you have to reach. I've had hemp people reaching out to me the last couple of days, like sending me texts, like, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. You can't believe this. And it just goes on and on. How many people do you think in your cycle of just on your farm, how many people do you think you're providing jobs to?
I mean, we just started out, right? But the hope for growth is really big. But right now, we employ on the farm itself probably somewhere at any point 10 to 15. Now, you know, it's kind of intermixed. We have a horse business that started as a horse farm, and we've got cattle. And then with the cattle, we actually make tallow and then hot dogs and hamburgers that we supply to the town. So it's a little bit mixed in that regard. But on the hemp side, that's where the growth is for us. We've strategically looked at this. Somebody approached us to grow marijuana about a year ago. We never got comfortable with it. And then we decided to go down this hemp route. And then once you learn what it can do for people and you see, anecdotal or not, you see the effect that it has on local people, family members, and friends for three specific areas. And this touches a lot of America, right? With a non-opioid product, sleep, anxiety, and pain relief. Now, I'm not even talking about gut health and seizures and restless leg syndrome and Crohn's disease and all the other things that people are getting some relief from, or at least claiming that they are. I got to be careful what I say. But those three things that people come in, I mean, it is life-changing. It's life-changing for them. And believe it or not, it's life-changing for their animals. We have a lot of people buying cat CBD and dog CBD. That, we can't get a dose low enough to even be able to sell that to animals.
Yeah, it's creating, you know, the Republicans have always been about less regulation, but this is clearly designed to kill an industry. It's not designed to even regulate an industry. It's designed to regulate it out of existence because they feel, I think you're seeing it from Big Pharma. I think you're seeing it from the other industries out there that, you know, people, alcohol, tobacco, you know, those are the three industries that are still very powerful in this country, and they're looking at this going, hey, we got to stop this. It's too much growth. And so how do we do this? Well, let's get our buddy Mitch McConnell, and we'll get him to write this amendment in this bill that's supposed to be a clean CR. Doesn't seem to be very clean. And then once again, you've got, you know, the hemp industry reeling after the president's publicly come out and already supported it. So this is getting insane.
You hit it in the very beginning. I mean, when big alcohol and big pharma and even tobacco see sales go down, even if it goes down 10%, which it might even be more than that, you're talking about an unbelievable amount of money going out from pockets of affluent people who have been having the lobbies for a long period of time. There's a lot of establishment there for decades and decades. But you see something like that, I don't think what they understand is the kids don't want it anymore. You know, my generation, so I'm an Xer, I just turned 50. Our generation grew up on drinking. There wasn't really many other options. There was some pot out there and things like that. But the kids these days, I mean, we do more events with, and we have a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old. These kids aren't drinking. They're not doing what we did. And they're finding other ways to soothe their anxiety, especially, I mean, you can get down the whole social media aspect of what that's doing to our children and our population with attention span anxiety and fear of missing out. But those kids, I mean, they're looking for something else to relieve themselves without getting high and without getting drunk. And we have a product here that is made by God out of the ground, unadulterated, that can actually help people in major, major areas. I don't think, listen, even if they make it illegal, I don't think alcohol is going to see a boom. I mean, that's just not what's going to happen. They're going to find black market products and they're going to find foreign products to fill this need. The Pandora's box, the genie's already out of the bottle. It's not coming back in.
It's going to go, you know, you'll see more black market, which, you know, you're talking about the stuff coming from China. They have illegal marijuana farms up in Maine, and they're finding the different fertilizers and chemicals that they're using. They're banned in the United States. You can't even bring this stuff into the United States. The Chinese are bringing it in and putting it on the plants, and then they're selling this to people. So you have no idea what that, once you light that and you create that chemical reaction, whoo, I mean, who knows what you're putting into your body, into your lungs. And, you know, they are seeing, you know, anything from China, I'd be suspect of right off the bat. And that's the good thing about, or, you know, edible CBD. It's like you can eat it. You don't have to smoke it. You can, there's yep. other ways that you can put it into your body, and the stuff works. I mean, I've got the rubs, I've had the gummies, you know, it all, we've sold different versions of it here. We had something a long time ago called Washington's Reserve, which, you know, cause George Washington grew it, you know, it's just like, it's so crazy that we're going backwards in time. And it just seems like it's to, you know, soothe some special interest. And we're coming back in about 4 minutes. I want to talk about the ground effort you're seeing from the industry, because you guys are going to have to basically, you know, go full bore on this to get your representatives to come in and write a new bill to get rid of these provisions, because that's the only way it's going to change. So you have a year. The year, it's a counting down. You got 1 year. So we'll be right back with Farmer Mike over at Jennings Clean Farm, JenningsCleanFarm.com, and we're going to talk all about it. We're really deep in the weeds here. Pardon the pun. We're deep in the weeds on this hemp bill, this amendment that was in this clean CR, to basically kneecap the hemp industry and kill a multi-billion dollar, $26 billion industry, probably 500,000 employees nationwide. It's not just the medicine. It's not just, you know, people going, helping them go to sleep and reduce their anxiety. It's being, you know, hemp's being used in paper. It's in clothing. People are using it to make flour. You can make hemp oil out of it to just cook with. In fact, I think the first diesel car was made to run on hemp oil, because that's how much, there's a lot of growing seasons you can get with it. It's way better than trees because you don't have to grow. It takes, you know, 20 years to get a tree up. Well, you can have three seasons in 1 year, three growing seasons of hemp. So it's just, it's ridiculous that they're doing this. This is definitely a special interest move. And do you guys have that one video? We got a group. I want to play this, because this is the type of InfoWar spirit we need out there for people to get mad and get in the face of their government and say, hey, you're going to switch this. Here it is. This is from a local hemp producer.
Height, which is nearly 1,000 degrees Celsius.
No, that's not the one.
Have survived over an hour of intense.
Okay. All right, crew's great. It's like a bunch of dudes sitting around talking about how they're being screwed. I'm going to send that again. I sent you two. Well, y'all screwed that pitch up. It's all right. See if y'all can find that one. It's like a bunch of people in a group, and they all scream and yell like freaking crazy-ass InfoWars. So see if y'all can grab that clip and just play it. But let's go back to our guest, and we'll just play that later. Maybe we'll play that at the end of the show or something. I don't know. Mike, I was talking about growing seasons. How many growing seasons do you get with your hemp?
Yeah, so we can get two full crops per field. Yeah, generally takes us, we'll use an auto because we're in the Northeast, and it it doesn't go off the sun. It's not a photo, so it doesn't go off the sun rhythms. It actually will go off of a days and period, and sometimes it'll be influenced by weather a little bit. So generally, our seed to harvest is 75 to 80 days. So we can generally hit last frost third week of May, somewhere in there, and then we can plant again and cross over as soon as that one's harvested. So generally two per field, which is great.
Which, you know, and you come into the South, you could get, I know they get three in Texas when they grow it. So it's like you're really making the most out of the land. You're getting the most yield from it. And then you have all these uses. Like the uses are just outrageous, all the things you could do with hemp. And then you have the government coming in, you know, with Mitch McConnell leading the charge, or I guess falling over, leading the charge to just kneecap this industry. What are you guys doing in your area? And then what do you see going nationwide of people just trying to change this law and get it, or get a new law written to, that supersedes this amendment? I mean, what are people doing?
It's probably the most difficult thing to sort through right now. I mean, obviously this is pretty new. I mean, I didn't even hear that they were slipping this in. I didn't even hear McConnell was slipping this in until very late, right? So then it became surreal, and you go through the seven stages of grief and then now we're just in this acceptance period. So the industry is trying to figure that out. There is clearly a battle for some reason between the marijuana guys and the hemp guys, and I don't know why that's separated. I know a little bit why that's separated. And there's this mini fraction of the hemp guys who really want to continue with the synthetics added to hemp versus the people who are pure farmers. And that doesn't need to be separated as much as it is either. So right now you're trying to figure out, you know, what that looks like. And then there's two paths once you figure that out, once we figure that out, and we're getting closer to that already. There's two paths. There's the federal path, and then you obviously have the state path. We're lucky we're in a state that is, the first time I've said this in my life, we're lucky we're in a state that is very blue, and they tend to accept marijuana as a God-given right better than the red states do, like a Texas. So we feel that we probably have a better chance than somebody in a more conservative state like Kentucky. I don't know what Kentucky's going to do. A lot of hemp farmers there, a lot of good people. I talked to a lot of the Amish farmers who are in Pennsylvania. They have no idea. They can't do anything anyway, but they don't even know what this means or how this happens. And those guys are depending on contracts. You know, they only farm, they don't process, right? So getting to the layers of this, and then you're looking at farmers, processors, wholesalers, retailers. We happen to be on every one of those levels, but then each of those groups have different things that they're interested in at the same time. So finding a common voice and finding an alliance that you can go to Congress and your state Congress, your federal Congress and your state Congress is the trick right now. And so we're sorting all that out with the local independent labs. We're sorting that out with other farmers. We're sorting that out with non-hemp farmers at the same time. And then you're trying to figure out which of the processors, I guess the trickiest level is probably the processing level, because there's people who are processing to add synthetics, and there's people who are processing just pure.
Yeah, so getting to these synthetics, what are they actually doing? What is synthetic about it? Because this has never really crossed my mind. I'm not super into the industry, but like, what synthetic are they adding to these? And is it to the oil? Is it to gummies? Is it to everything?
So when I say synthetic, I might be wrong in my vocabulary, so hopefully I'm not going to get killed on this later. But basically what you're taking is you're taking the hemp plant, and you're processing the CBD to a delta 8. That's my understanding.
Okay.
Right? And maybe it's not a CBD.
So it's removing that one molecule. It's removing a molecule or something to make it not THC, but THCA. I know there's different forms of that.
THCA gets confusing for people, because basically THCA itself, like if you ingested THCA, and a lot of people will juice cannabis. Dr. William Courtney, who runs the International Cannabis Institute, and I think that's the right name of it. His name is Dr. William Courtney. He's a big advocate on juicing. And the reason that he's a big advocate on juicing, and this all goes away, clearly, he's in Canada, which he might have some more protection. But the benefit of juicing is until you turn THCA, which is the acid, THCA is the acid side, and you have CBDA, which is the acid side, until those are changed, usually through heat, that remains a THCA, an acid. Your body can process THCA in gigantic quantities. I mean, milligram after milligram, gram after gram. I mean, you could take a whole plant, juice it, drink it, and not get high. It's not until that cannabinoid is changed from an acid to the THC that it actually will hit your CB1 receptors, which are on your brain and your spine. And that basically shape of your receptor will allow your THC or an anandamide to fit in that spot and then stimulate the high. It's kind of like the result that you would have, like people would say, after having a runner's high or something like that. So the Delta 8 and products like that are much, much different because they're actually in a lab altered. And quite honestly, in New Jersey, I think that probably goes away because I can't imagine somebody would want to get high off a Delta 8 rather than a Delta 9. I mean, you're talking about a pure high that people feel pretty good. Most of the people I talk to about a Delta 8, they don't get a really good high. But the only purpose of a Delta 8 and changing it is to actually become psychoactive.
And to get it into convenience stores.
I mean, it falls under the hemp. The hemp protection. Yeah.
Right. So I'm looking at this. You sent me a breakdown of this, you know, and you talked about how you guys are like seed to shelf. So you're covering all these processes. So you got farmers and wholesalers. They've got equipment, people, labor, real estate. And you got the processors who are basically taking this product and getting into something you could send to a lab to then get tested and then get processed into different products. Then you're trucking this stuff everywhere. And then you've got the retail. All these have, you know, a real estate, they all have employees, they all have investment capital going into this. So you're really killing it's not just the hemp shop or the vape shop down the road. There's a whole process beyond that I don't know if people are you know quite understanding how this is going to kill a lot of different things. And this is an industry that's not going out. You don't have guys who are taking CBD. Well, at least you don't have that many, I think, that are taking CBD and beating their wife or kids. You know, you've got
right.
This stuff really, you know, chills people, a lot of people out. That's why they've turned to it. That's why they've stopped drinking as much alcohol. That's why they've stopped partying as much. I want to go to this video, though. This is the mindset I think people need to take and the can-do attitude that Americans have, you know, to not just take this, well, in 1 year we can't do this anymore, so we might as well figure out how to wind down. This is who are these people? This is Cornbread Hemp. This is a company called Cornbread Hemp, and this is the video they put out yesterday in response to this bill being signed by President Trump.
Tonight, President Trump signed the bill to reopen the government, and when he did, he started a ticking clock that will make all CBD products in America illegal in 364 days. But we can't let that happen. So that's the bad news. But Eric, what's the good news?
The good news is we got 364 days to go raise hell and to get this law changed and to fix this issue. And I got a feeling some folks back here, we ain't done. We ain't giving up. Are we giving up? Are we giving up? Come on! Let's go!
Yeah, that's the entrepreneurial spirit, I think, that's made our country so great in the past and is going to continue to make it great and continue to have us leading the way on a lot of different you know, areas and categories. We don't just sit there and go, well, government said so, we better not do anything. No, you know, people need to raise hell. And are people in your area talking? Like, have you guys started a group yet? Is there anything going on? I know it's just one day in, but, you know, do something today. Do what you can today that, you know, not put it off till tomorrow. I think there's some saying I'm butchering, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, my personality isn't as reactive as most. So what we're doing right now is making all the proper phone calls, talking to the lobbyists that we can. And it doesn't really matter to me what industry the lobbyists are in, because you can get information of who to talk to and who makes those decisions. Next would be labs. And each of those people have information. And then after that, it will be associations. So there's a Hemp Growers Association, there's Mid-Atlantic Hemp Growers. all of these people have not been connected yet. And so my job, what I'm taking upon myself, is to try to connect all these people and all these groups, and then attack that on the federal side, and then also attack that on the state side. And there's two separate groups. I mean, my network, although just starting, is pretty strong, and I know a lot of the right people to have these conversations and to go. And then after that, it's an audible. I mean, every day you're making a decision based on the information that you get the next day. So I have a meeting today at 3 o'clock with an independent lab in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. She's been pretty tied in with the government, the state government. And so that would be one avenue. Mid-Atlantic Hemp Growers, they're a group of about 45 Amish farmers. That'll be another category. There's somebody who does something similar, who's not Amish, in Jersey. That'll be a different category. And then tying all those together to get a bigger voice and to see which players will have more influence in talking to politicians and such. So it's going to be a fight. It will be a fight on the federal level. It'll certainly be a fight on the state level. And then after that, you have to analyze and see where your time is better spent. I mean, I feel bad. I feel really, really bad for states that have no hemp policy whatsoever and only medicinal marijuana. I mean, there are purposes to both. I mean, I think you can abuse just about anything that you want to abuse, but I mean, these people need a voice, right? Like, what happened to my body, my choice? The whole country is now not my body, my choice. Now we can't even choose whether or not we want to ingest something that may, even if it is harmful to us, as long as we know, as long as the labeling is okay. So there's many things that you can concede on that I think politicians will like. Keep it out of the hands of kids. Psychoactive products should be out of the hands of kids. Proper labeling, so people know exactly what they're getting. There's three or four other things that I think that the industry would say, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. And I think those are three or four things to say, hey, yeah, we want the politicians to go back and say, we won this battle. This is what we wanted anyway, and this is what should happen.
Sure. So this might be a shot over the bow, a warning shot to get people going, hey, now you have, and maybe this is a time for the industry to step up and say, hey, we're going to police ourselves. We're going to create the regulations that we know we can work within to do these things, to keep it out of the hands of kids, to people know what they're getting, you know, the different percentages and stuff. So maybe this is a wake up call to get people organized, but it seems like this is a backroom deal going on, you know, with you know, high-powered senators, or I guess one falling senator, Mitch McConnell. So I know you're about to go. Just tell people a little bit about your farm and the types of products you're making, and, you know, give yourself a little plug-ski.
Okay, I appreciate that. So we are an all-natural farmer. We started down this road trying to help friends and family. So our products and the things that we offer are a CBD tallow, and that's made from tallow from our own head of beef. We have honey, which I'm not an apiarist. I'm not very good at it, but we do have a good friend who has about 80 hives on our farm. So the interaction between the bees and what we're doing are really important to everything that we're doing there for pollination. We have these capsules for people that don't like the taste of it. So that's just a pure decarboxylated product. We also have our top sellers are the gummies, which personally I hate making, but it's a big demand for it. And then we have a CBD oil. And then for special orders, we do a lot of things for people who want something blended together. So natural, all organic products that are blended with the CBD to get kind of an amplified entourage effect. You see on the left-hand side, the ladybugs, that's our symbol of purity. And it also is on a milkweed, which is also a really great plant for an all natural pure farmer because they attract more aphids than the plant does itself. So all those, aphids, spider mites, they'd much rather be on milkweed. So we never pick any of the milkweed that we have, although a lot of farmers will get rid of that.
And then the ladybugs go and eat the aphids.
Keeping it. They'll eat something like 5,000 aphids in their lifetime. They're an amazing, they're an amazing beetle. Yeah, it's a pretty spectacular process that we get to use from them. And because of that, the plants are healthier and
you're not using Chinese poison chemicals to get your product to market at the end of the day.
No, No, I mean, and that's a great point. Like, we have a lot of people saying, well, I'd rather get black market weed than I would from a gas station. It's like, what are you even saying? Like, you have people growing with Miracle-Gro and things from China that have heavy metals in it. And when you're bringing stuff in from China, you have to understand the plant is an amazing plant. It can detoxify anything. I mean, radiation, heavy metals, it attracts all of that. So it purifies your ground. And if you do it the right way, you don't need a lot of fertilizer to do it. We don't grow in a greenhouse. We're all natural sun. And people say, well, that's less expensive. And the answer to that is, well, it might be, it might not be. But what you're getting is the full spectrum of sun between, you know, the whole gamut between red and blue light and everything in between. We've only had to water twice last year, so we're not sucking resources out of the town in the community or out of the aquifer in our well. So we have a really great process, and I'm really proud of the product that we put out to the marketplace. I'm happy to give it to friends and family and anybody else who wants to partake.
Well, I'm interested to see how this all shakes out. We got a year. The clock is ticking. Mike, thanks for joining us here on the American Journal, and people can check out your what you're making in your farm out there at JenningsCleanFarm.com. Thank you for joining us and have a great day. And keep me updated as to this goes. You have my DM. You can send me information as things progress.
I will. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed the time. And this is, you're fighting a good fight. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is God's creation as far as I'm concerned. And we need more, sure as we say, ganja people out there growing the good stuff.
That's right.
Keeping people rolling. So appreciate your time. Now I want to just...
You too. Thank you.
Yep. Before we go to break, we got about 5 minutes, and I want to get into a some information Brianna Morello left me. But before we do that, I do want to let people know we do have the buy one, get one free Shilajit, which it's also the gummies. We sell gummies or capsules at thealexjonesstore.com. And, it looks like... Do we still have the free hat? Well, we still have it. We thought it had gone off the so you still get the murdered out hat. That's okay. Well, it's on the site, so we're just going to go ahead and call it good. Pull that back up. Let people know you still have a chance. You got buy one get one free Shilajit gummies. When you buy one Shilajit, you get a free hat, and I think with any supplement too, any hat gets one of the murdered out InfoWars hats. Oh, it did. It rolled off. All right. So sorry. False alarm. But we still have buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies right there. Buy one, get one free, thealexjonesstore.com. You know, we're celebrating literally the one-year anniversary of when we were shut down. I'm going to have Alex Jones in here next segment. In fact, somebody give Alex a text. Make sure he knows about this or on his way. Maybe have security reach out to him, see where he's at. But he's supposed to come in here. We're going to talk about some videos that I've uncovered that were at the time of this that we had never seen before. They were kind of deep on the web searches. And one of them is Jake Tapper interviewing the CEO of The Onion. And then this other one is the PBS. In fact, let's play that, the one that starts with clip. So it says clip and then Onion. It's a short clip. But this is how they view Alex Jones and the information here that we put out on InfoWars. And it's pretty telling that they are the way they look at him, the way they're like, we have to stop this man by any means necessary. Essentially, that's what he's saying. Here's that clip.
Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of preventing from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good.
Any means of preventing him from causing more harm. And what are they saying? Oh, he's putting out mis and disinformation. These people aren't, though. Not PBS. No. Not BBC, who just got caught editing two clips from an hour apart, putting them together like Trump set them back to back. And I think they just found another station was doing the same thing. It was a Norwegian station had done the same thing. That's because the call goes out to these people. Okay, they're all on the same list. They get the call that says, hey, put these two clips together and show this. This is what Donald Trump is saying. He was telling people to go fight at the Capitol when he wasn't. He wasn't saying that. He's saying we have to fight for what we're doing. So you have to fight to keep us on the air by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's how we stay on the air. That's how whenever this does shut down, by the grace of God, we may stay open. But it's looking like beginning of the year, 2026, it's going to happen. And we don't know who it's going to go to. Maybe The Onion will get it. Maybe someone else will get it. But here's the thing. The people out there, you out there, are the info war. You're the people that make this possible. And we're just going to take everything and just move to another basket. And you're going to move right along there with us, and we're going to keep going. Because the fight for freedom isn't going to stop. You know, we got this article here. Chicago judge orders Trump to release 600 illegal migrants. Like, literally, Trump can't even do his job. Even if you didn't like some of the things he were doing, the things he is doing right, he can't even do because he's being stymied by these Obama and Biden, even Clinton-appointed judges. So District Judge Jeffrey Cummings made the order just a day after Trump declared victory in Chicago. So basically, they have all these migrants being held as part of their immigration crackdown. He's like, no, you got to release them. Boom. Release them. And, you know, we're not... it's a $1,500 bond and some form of monitoring, but they're being released. Do you think since they've broken the law already, they're going to honor that commitment to come back into court? Probably not. That's why it needs to be grab them and get them back to where they came from. Bye-bye. And I think they said 1.6 million have already self-deported. Self-deportation is the way to go. And then they're going to allow, if you self-deport, they'll allow you to even have that opportunity to come back. And you've already made inroads. So you might as well do it the right way. Let the United States recover, especially from the housing and everything else, the food prices, everything else. When you got more people trying to eat less stuff, prices are going to go up. Gas is going to go up. Housing's going to go up. Everything's going to go up. In fact, I got a clip from J.D. Vance we will play next hour or the hour after that, talking about the reason the housing crisis is so bad is because of the illegal aliens, illegal migrants, whatever you want to call them. But we need to do something. You can't just say, well, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to pretend and you know, hope that, have some hopium and hope that things fix themselves. They're not going to fix themselves. We're going to have to do it. That's what the hemp farmers are doing. The hemp processors are doing. They're going to have to try to change the law in 1 year. They got 1 year to do it. Let's see if they do it. We'll be right back. You know, I think we could, this could bookend the interview we just did with the hemp farmer in out of New Jersey. This is a tweet thread put out by High Times. The government reopened and hemp got banned. A last-minute clause inside the funding bill outlawed most hemp-based products nationwide. Shutdown solved, an entire plant sector sacrificed. Congress didn't debate hemp. They hid the ban inside the must-pass budget. The House vote was 222 to 209. Trump signed it. And a nationwide prohibition with a one-year timer. And Senator Mitch McConnell, who legalized hemp in 2018, helped craft the new restriction. What a surprise on his way out the door, literally falling out of public grace. The rule is 0.4 milligrams of total activates per container. And as we had Mike, the hemp farmer, said, that was like a grain of salt cut in half. Not a piece of salt, like rock salt, but like a grain of salt cut in half is what 0.4 milligrams would be. And that would be per container. So not per gummy, but inside each container. So if you had a whole container of gummies, you could only have 0.4 in there. Ridiculous. And they said, that's not regulation, that's removal. Same state, same crop, total war. Rand Paul and Thomas Massey tried to remove the clause. Massey's amendment died. Rand Paul was quoted as saying, you're destroying an industry. And McConnell saying, we're going to close the gas station loophole. And you follow the money. The alcohol world split in two. Distributors pushing to regulate and sell hemp beverages. And then there's producers pushing to eliminate them. So you've seen these advertisements out there on social media. You can see them. There's, you know, different types of hemp CBD beverages that people are, you know, starting to market. People are buying them. People are drinking them. People are using them. So there's part of the alcohol industry is like, hey, we like this. This is something else we can sell and distribute. And then you have the other side of the old crow brigade is saying, no, we just want people to get drunk off our distilled spirits. This wasn't a science-driven policy. It was an agenda-driven drafting. They're saying, and so the new law can eliminate 95% of hemp products. That's 300,000 jobs, small farms, low-dose beverages, full-spectrum oils, most CBD formulations, and how many people are taking CBD products now, and entire state-level frameworks. The clock starts now. You have 365 days till enforcement. Well, now it's down to 364, and you have to push Congress toward a regulatory solution. The policy decoded. He didn't outsmart the hemp world. He outweighed it. By tying prohibition to the shutdown bill, Congress reopened the country and outlawed a plant sector in one vote. It's about timing and power and who gets to shape the future of plant-based, God-grown products in America. Right there, that's what it's all about. It's about going, no, no, no. The people in labs know how to make medicine better than God. That's basically what they're saying. So it's total chicanery. Let's see. We don't have time to play. I'll play this when we get back. This Christy Noem sticking her foot in her mouth and DHS kind of walking back her comments. And it's funny. They think they're – it's like they go in there. It's like when Pam Bondi was like, yeah, I'm for red flag laws. I'm for hate speech, you know, because they're thinking like women, honestly. That's the problem. They're in this emotional state, and they're like, yeah, everybody should be nice to each other. Nah, that's not the world we live in. Okay, we live in a world where literally we have aircraft carriers being deployed down to Venezuela. Which, you know, if you're a Monroe Doctrine follower, you're like, okay, well, at least we're keeping it to our sector of the world. This is where we should be sticking our nose in. But should we? Should we be in regime change? Should we be in this? Or should we just kind of let these countries do it themselves? Because, you know, every time we do a regime change, there's always something that goes wrong. There's always some little tidbit in there that's not right. We'll be right back after this break. I have a show note here. Alex Jones will be joining us in the 10 o'clock hour. He had some stuff come up, and we're going to be discussing a little bit of the clip I showed last hour of the bald executive editor of The Onion, who's been there for many years. And I think we're going to play the whole thing, and he's going to comment on it. It's kind of a long interview, but the interview he gives, he's looking down because he's kind of ashamed of what he's doing. Then he glances up, and he looks down, and he glances up, he looks down. What's his name? James LaFleur is his name. But he said basically any means of stopping Alex Jones and InfoWars should be explored. He literally says that. And so I told this to Jones last night. I said, you're not going to believe this clip I found. And I'm sitting there just... You're just listening to it, and he gets kind of stuck in the words because he knows what he's saying isn't right and that he shouldn't be, anti-First Amendment and going after people's free speech. But no, they want to police everything. That's what the left is. The left has become the mini police of the world. And speaking of police, the head of DHS, this is a few days ago, about 2 days ago, she really stuck her foot in her mouth, and it 6 million people have seen this video. This is a... Secretary Noem on H-1Bs and on the Trump administration, she said, we sped up the process and added integrity to the visa program, to green cards, to all that. So more people are becoming naturalized under this administration than ever before. And that's like, everybody's going, what? What? We didn't ask you for more people to become naturalized. We're asking for, let's put the brakes on this. Let's get the illegals out. And then let's kind of slowly turn these apparatuses back on. But here she is sticking her foot in her mouth. And then I have a correction put out by DHS. Here's that clip.
But we will be looking at every single TSA official that helped serve during this government shutdown and do what we can to recognize that and help them financially with a bonus check to get them and their family back on their feet. So with that, Rico, I want to present to you a check and say thank you from the American people. Appreciate it. Ashley, thank you. Yes. And is Leo here? All right, Leo.
Well, that's not the clip, but that is Christy Noem giving away $10,000 checks to people who stayed at their post at TSA, which is an interesting lesson to learn. It's sometimes doing the right thing pays dividends other than, you know, going, well, you know, since I'm not getting paid, I'm just going to leave my post. And, well, you know, we know TSA's never really found a hijacker. So Interesting sort of public relations move, but I'm just going to read you what she said. Under the Trump administration, we've sped up our process and added integrity to the visa programs, to green cards, to all that. But also more people are becoming naturalized under this administration than ever before. More people becoming citizens. And so Brianna Morello contacted DHS, and she just sent me a text. She just sent me a text. She said, hey, DHS revised their comment they gave to me. They're now saying she meant to say they're speeding up the process, but not approving more people. They're just doing more vetting on individuals looking to become citizens. That said, they're working on getting me the total number of naturalized citizens under Trump. Says it's less than Biden in 2024, but they will get the numbers. So we will stay tuned for those numbers and see where they're at. Let's look at this. While this is all happening, while we have DHS say they're sending more people, we have this article here. Foreclosures surge 20% as Americans struggle to pay mortgages. There's a worrying new trend foreshadowing a housing market crash. Foreclosures, when a bank lender takes back a home, are once again on the rise. This is news from ATTOM showing more homeowners are falling behind amid job losses, which is due to the shutdown and soaring living costs. In October alone, there were 36,766 foreclosure filings, the first step in the process when the lender warns the borrower they're in default. That's up 3% from September and 19% from a year ago. Foreclosure activity continued its steady upward trend in October, the eighth straight month year-over-year increases. That's the eighth straight month is going up, 6% from the month before. A rise in stirring, uncomfortable memories of 2008 when there was a big crash because they were giving out loans to people who weren't qualified for them. So there's that. I want to go to this clip, too. We got like a... This is for some Tina Peters information. We put this out on InfoWars yesterday. Urgent. Tina Peters in danger needs Trump to act. Right now, she's in a state prison for over a year. She's beaten lung cancer, but now she's got new symptoms. They have her working in a kitchen as well. She's 70 years old. She just turned 70. And she had her son killed in action. She's a Gold Star mom. And this is how we treat people who stand up for election integrity. We put them in prison. We've got Todd Blanche claiming he's going to move her, but I think that was just that got leaked. Mysteriously got leaked, which we know one of his staff leaked it, or he leaked it to somebody so they could put a big stink up about it and not get her out of there, because there's a theory that the U.S. Marshals were going to go move her to a federal prison. You know, like maybe one of these club feds where they put Ghislaine Maxwell, who doesn't deserve where she's at right now. But here's that clip on the status of Tina Peters.
Urgent message. Juan is going to deliver an urgent message. Everyone needs to get involved on this. It's regarding Tina Peters. Juan, take it away.
Everybody needs to understand that very shortly, President Trump is going to be making a talk to the nation about what he's going to implement as a national emergency regarding elections and the way that we're going to have to modify how we conduct elections in order to have them be protected from interference. We're going to be doing some military action very shortly, if needed. Tina Peters stepped forward and did some things that were pretty aggressive, but also exactly what her job called for, including within the context of a federal national election. President Trump has come out multiple times and said free Tina Peters. In the course of all of this, Tina is caught in the midst of this political battle, a year and a half in jail, plus several years of stress on her system. Before this all began, just before, she was struck with cancer in the lungs and made it through that. Lost a third of one lung in the course of it. Not well, but she worked hard. I know the times that she was with Jen and I the things and efforts that she went to, very careful on her diet, certain things she did therapeutically in order to keep her system in check against having the cancer come back. But in prison, you can be young, you can be healthy, you can, you know, have a lot of stamina, and it's still a grueling, hard thing to go through imprisonment. The food is horrible, white bread with no nutrients in it. You know, you're just stuck with horrible stuff. The stress has been over the top, including various death threats. And then if we talk about it, then we're the bad guys and nobody's supposed to say anything. She can't say anything. All of her actions are heavily monitored. We have to go in there and press hard. The reality is her health is now deteriorating very rapidly.
Jeez.
She's, and I've talked about this before, but I didn't want to be, you know, sky is falling or, you know, just.
But now it is, basically. Shallow, like, we got to make a move.
Nino, I wouldn't be doing this call right now if it wasn't extremely serious. She's been coughing up like she did when she had cancer before. She's cut something, the dust, the food, the environment, whatever it is, I don't care less. Her health is rapidly deteriorating right now. She doesn't need to be in a clinic and given an aspirin there at the prison. She needs to be out right now in a medical facility and assisted right this second. It's not days. It needs to be hours, minutes. There needs to be action right now. I need Tina alive, healthy, able to be in the fight, not a victim in an ongoing basis that we're going to memorialize. You know, she's being assassinated. Everybody turned out for Charlie Kirk. Everybody got all stressed out without. We can stop the assassination of Tina Peters right now. Get her out.
Okay.
I don't care what you have to do. I don't care what other things are pressing on the desk right now. President Trump, call those people and find out who's holding this up and get them fired. Get them out. Get them out of the way, whatever you have to do. Same thing with the governor of Colorado. You will not be free of the blood of Tina Peters if you don't act right now.
Well, you know, if you care about election integrity and you care about getting to the bottom of what's going on in some of these states, you know, the Secretary of State, I think, gave out the password to the voting machines live on the air. I think that's what happened. And Tina Peters was looking at the chicanery. She got the information and they're like, oh, you're showing something that we're doing bad. We're going to put you in jail. So I just want to pass out these numbers. If people want to call Pam Bondi's office, her number is 202-514-2001. The DOJ main White House switchboard, 202-456-1111. And then the main switchboard at the White House, 202-456-1414. You know, what do we do when stuff like this happens? We need to raise a little hell. And I'm not talking about doing anything violent. I'm not talking about destroying any property. I'm talking about using your mouth, get on the phone, make some phone calls. Fill up these inboxes because they're probably not going to take your call. You're going to get to leave a message. But be respectful and tell them you need to do something about getting Tina Peters in protective custody because she is a witness to election fraud. If Trump cares about election fraud like he says he does, then he needs to do something about this. Go to the White House switchboard. Call the main White House switchboard. Call all these numbers. Leave a message. And then do it again tomorrow. And then put it on X of the message you left, and then get other people to do it. And if you just keep every day beat the drum, they might finally do something. They'll get sick and tired of American citizens asking our elected representatives to do their basic jobs, and they'll go, you know what? This is what we ran on. Maybe we should do something. So let me give out the number. We got about 10 minutes left in this segment, about 20-something minutes in the next one. 877-789-2539. I'm going to take 5 calls before Alex Jones comes on, and we're going to analyze these onion clips from a year ago, because today we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of our shutdown. They actually came and shut us down over a year ago. And now we're still here. Yet we're still here. So that's amazing. There's a little clip. Yeah, that clip's in there as well. All right, it's in an ad where the Wired reporter asked Ben Collins, "Oh, what would you like to do?" He said, "I really want to own InfoWars." And they all laugh maniacally. I mean, these are weird people. Don't build anything themselves. Like, Ben Collins was just a censor on MSNBC. He was just their little glorified censor. So it's like, oh, now we're going to give you the job at The Onion. So you get to police people's comedy and say what's funny or not. And now we're going to give you InfoWars because you don't really build anything. You don't have any real skills other than being a minder. You know, remember, Ben, when you were in school and you wrote people's names on the chalkboard? Remember how cool you were? Now you get to do that for the rest of your life. It just costs your soul and, you know, a few pegging sessions with George Soros. But that's okay. It's liberal. Here's an interesting tidbit. Remember in 2008, Michael Burry, author of The Big Short, made a bunch of money by betting that the market was about to crash. Well, he's just known. He was known for making his successful bet against the housing market in 2008, has deregistered his hedge fund, Scion Asset Management. The Securities and Exchange Commission database showed Scion's registration status as terminated as of November 10th. Deregistering would imply the fund is not required to file reports with the regulator or any state. Bets by Scion, which manages $155 million in assets as of March, have long been dissected for hints of looming bubbles and signs of market froth. On a post on social media on Wednesday, Burry said, "On to much better things, November 25th. Scion Asset Management did not immediately respond to Reuters' request for comment. Burry has stepped up criticism of technology heavyweights, including NVIDIA and Palantir Technologies in recent weeks, questioning the cloud infrastructure boom, accusing major providers of using aggressive accounting to inflate profits from their massive hardware investments." So that's the big question. Is there an AI bubble? People are wondering, is the AI bubble happening? And so you've got all this money being spent on data centers. What does it take to run data centers? Two things, electricity and water. Two things that are sort of scarce because of the 8 years of the Obama administration and the 4 years of Biden basically gutting coal-powered and nuclear power plants and putting it all into solar, which doesn't work as well as it should, even though what Elon Musk put out a tweet of couple days ago talking about the solar industry and how it's booming and everything else is kind of going down in most countries, except the United States. We're seeing an uptick in coal because people are realizing, hey, coal power plants don't have freezes. They don't freeze like with the windmills, like what we had in Texas. You know, oh, they didn't decide to winterize the windmills or the wind turbines. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call them windmills because they're actually a turbine. It uses oil and electricity, and you have to bury these things when they're done, and they catch fire, and they look ugly. But, you know, we've got them all over Texas now because they were giving people incentives to install them. But, hey, that's okay. So we got Burry here, Michael Burry, basically looking at there's going to be an AI bubble. So he's put the bet out that there is going to be an AI bubble because there's too much infrastructure. They're going around jacking people's utility rates up. So we're basically paying for the AI that you think is free. You think that AI is free every time you put a prompt into Grok. It's not free. Somebody's paying for it. And it's in the realm of like probably between each person, probably about $5,000 a person out there that's using AI is what it's costing to with the computing power and the chips and the personnel to run these, you know, your ChatGPT to write your email or to write a plug for your products. So it's not free. Nothing is ever free. Just remember that. All right, let's go to our callers. I'm going to go to the first caller here, Leslie in Nevada. Welcome to the show, Leslie.
Hi, Rob Dew. Such a pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Well, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I did not know about the problems in the bill that was passed with the CBD. And it's extremely concerning because I'm just on the outskirts of Las Vegas, and Las Vegas is already dying. I mean, they've recognized that Las Vegas was built on the middle class, but the middle class is being destroyed, so they're moving to servicing only the whales, you know, the $100,000 bettors. And coming in to do things like CBD, that was one of the things that made Las Vegas a fun destination to go to. And we had hemp farmers here in the Pahrump Valley, but, you know, I think that this whole thing, it really is symptomatic of a larger war on consciousness. I think, you know, when I start looking at why some decisions are made in our government and others aren't, whatever decision lowers the overall consciousness of the American people seems to be that which is voted for most frequently. And since pain lowers your consciousness and CBD eases the pain and thereby raises your consciousness, I think that is really, really what's being attacked. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, if you look at anxiety, too, anxiety is a big thing. And what is the news cycle is sort of invented to keep you in a state of conscious anxiety. And so that's another thing that hemp products help you with, too, CBD products. They're like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about every little thing going on in every other corner of the earth that I can't really control anyway. So I might as well, you know, hang out with my kids and do something positive, like, you know, work on a hobby or something. And no. We got to have you freaking out about things happening on the other side of the world that you have no control over.
Exactly. And it also, it drains people of their vital energies that they need in order to be independent. And this lowering of consciousness, anytime your consciousness or your IQ gets lowered, it makes you more dependent. And if we've seen anything, it's that this government requires dependency in order to function. The less government you need, interestingly enough, the less of it you have and the freer you become. It's just that when you start lowering people's IQs with fluoridation of the water, with the poisoned food, with the geoengineering, they don't have the IQ to understand that they're being warred against and need to fight back. And I've been working on a hypnosis script because, you know, we've all been hypnotized by the television. And as a hypnotherapist, I was thinking, you know, what is the, how do you break someone out of that hypnotic spell? Because obviously their trigger word, literal trigger word, is Trump. And that's how you know they've been brainwashed, because when they hear that word, they begin behaving in peculiar pre-programmed ways.
So they tense up. They go, ugh.
Yeah.
That's like Yosemite Sam. I hate that orange man.
Exactly. And that looks to me at like a hypnotic trigger has been activated in people. And so how do we undo that hypnotic trigger? Well, we just have to hypnotize them with something better. And that's where I think Elon Musk with X has got such an advantage, because, you know, it's a huge platform and you can hammer people with the same ideas over and over and over again, because that's what creates the hypnosis. In the past, we were hammered over and over and over again with the beauties of Jesus and of working hard and all those things. And now, instead of the church being the focus of the hypnosis, now they've moved it to the entertainment section.
Right.
Because it's better for control, because it makes us dumber faster. I mean, before, when we had to learn Latin to pay attention in church, it made it, you know, difficult to keep a population under control that can speak multiple languages because they have multiple sources of input. But now
we speak in number code. We just won't run around and say 6-7 all the time. We got 30 seconds. What do you think of the sphere? Do you think it's a giant hypno machine? What do you think's going on there in the sphere?
Oh, that sphere creeps me out super bad. It is a total hypnosis machine. I don't know why anybody wants to go into a 3D LED flashing lights that are known to destroy your brain. And you're going to surround yourself and bathe yourself in all that electromagnetic nonsense.
Wow. We'll be right back. That's right. Band.video, Infowars.com/show, and the Mighty X at Infowars. We are live on all three of those. Have you shared the link with somebody you know? That's the question. Have you shared it? Hey, text them, put it out on X, say, hey, I'm tuned in right now. Now, I'm looking at this. I'm about to go back to your calls. Somebody just hung up, but I'm looking at the calls. I love the callers here. Somebody wants to talk about the housing crisis 2008. We were just talking about that. Somebody wants to talk about the White House comment line. somebody wants to talk about H-1B visas, someone wants to talk about the AI bubble, and then someone else wants to talk about RFK on vaccines. I mean, this is like what we've been talking about all day. So I'm loving that we're not trying to get off topic, you know, because, look, I could cover lots of topics at once. In fact, let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. We just spoke with the hemp farmer over in, I believe he's in southern New Jersey. But Andrew wants to talk about the housing crisis in 2008. Were you a victim of that, Andrew?
No, I wasn't, but we were a victim of the Democrat and the media lies about it. And someone like you is savvy, like you know the full story. And the movie, The Big Short, I purposely didn't watch it because I didn't want to get triggered, and I love Bradley Cooper's in it. But I knew they weren't going to show both sides, meaning the government's role, specifically the Democrats.
Yeah.
Obama shockingly became president. As senator, he funded Fannie and Freddie. Money flowed through him. And he beat out John Kerry, even though Kerry was the senator for almost 30 years and Obama was only 3 years. And they were funding, supporting subprime loans. They were calling the banks racist if they don't give out the loans. And the Republicans, as bad as Bush was with the war, they 17 times put legislation to defund Fannie and Freddie. And the Democrats had a majority because people would say, well, why didn't Bush stop? Well, they went through the process and they voted it down. Then the Republicans said, okay, if we can't stop this, can we at least raise it from 1% down to 3%? And the Democrats voted that down. So the media and the Democrats, they always leave the government's role out and actually blame Bush. And I was shocked listening to callers when Romney was running. And the one lady said, oh, well, I can't support Romney's policies on the economy. He's like Bush, like the Glass-Steagall Act. So she thought the Glass-Steagall Act was to deregulate banks, but it was actually the opposite. It was to regulate after the Depression. So the shocking, like, dishonesty of the subprime crash. And then Obama gets elected president, and he's like, people got loans that shouldn't have, so we'll have sweeping legislation. Yeah, well, you supported the loans, and well, who's going to legislate you?
Yeah, and he supported giving the banks and keeping them afloat. You know, they got rid of a couple banks, but most of them was like, oh, we're just going to give you more money. We're going to let you, you're going to get all this money at 0% interest. You know, your bad decisions aren't of any consequence, you know, because, well, we allowed you to give these low interest, you know, low, I guess, oversight loans to people. We made it legal and you did it, so it's not your fault. You know, you don't have to use business sense in this situation. You could just give money away.
And that did away with the Glass-Steagall Act, which was one of the main.
Yes. And taking these loans and cutting them up and putting them out there. I forget the term was for that, but they would take up a loan. What was that?
Packaging. Yep. Packaging.
Yes.
Packaging toxic loans or bad loans, which was, of course, wrong. The banks were definitely wrong, but it was the Democrat politicians that were encouraging in the first place. So it's like if you leave your door unlocked and put a sign that says,
yeah, banker's going to come in and rob you. You're exactly right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then you say, hey, he robbed me. Well, you left your door unlocked and said, come on in.
It's like the Canadians, so you know, leave your keys in the lockbox outside, but don't lock the lockbox so they could just take your car. That's all they want. They just want to take your car. Just let the criminals take your car. And like, and you go, hey, the criminals took my car. Well, we told you to put your keys in the lockbox so you can take your car. And you're like, oh, you're right. Okay. Where do I sign? You know, it's just insanity over and over again. And I guess we're not learning. We're gonna pile it all everything into AI, and then when it crashes, you're gonna have dusty data centers around the country are now homes to thousands of rats eating cables and pooping in the streets. You know, that's what we're gonna
like
have.
Like Calendra. Like green energy, Solyndra.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. More Solyndras out there. That's basically what they're. Well, now we're going to run them on solar. No, you're not. You're not going to run. These data centers need lots of power, and they're going to take the power from you and me to do it and charge us out the wazoo. Thanks for calling, Andrew. Good perspective on 2008. Not a lot of people remember 2008 because, you know, we didn't have social media back then. So it's like, oh, you know, I have the memory of a goldfish. Can't remember that far. Let's go to Sean in California, who was on the line, but he something happened. He got disconnected, but he's back on. Wants to talk about Tina Peters, and he has a friend with stage 4 cancer. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for taking my call. The Tina Peters situation, one, you know, she's fighting cancer. And two, let's say she was using cannabis to treat it. Everyone knows CBD and THC and everything in cannabis has helped many patients with cancer. I have a friend has to go to Mexico just to get the cancer treatment. She's in stage four. And, you know, fact of the matter is what Trump's doing, one, the election integrity would be everything for future Republicans. Why they're not, the party is not, you know, raising a storm over this, I don't know. And two, you know, Rand Paul and Senator Massey, seems they actually have their heads about them on the cannabis topic, and all the other Republicans are stuck in the Jeff Sessions era of, you know, say no to drugs without realizing that cannabis grows all over the planet. So we are in an information war, as you know, and it seems that Trump is throwing the information out with the, you know, baby out with the bathwater. Whether it's Tina Peters or my personal friend, I am more than furious at this administration. The cannabis industry, which I don't touch it. I am straight edge except for my InfoWars supplements and the occasional energy drink. You know, it's like I look at it as it's a straight libertarian topic. It's, you know, about fundamental freedoms. We built this nation on tobacco and on hemp, and it seems one is good and one is bad. Which one sends people to the hospital with cancer? Which one remedies cancer? You know, we need to look at it that way.
But hold on. There's been discoveries now with nicotine and how it's, like, actually not bad for you, and it can actually cure things and treat things. But we've been told nicotine is bad, nicotine's evil, and maybe it's not. Maybe it's all the other crap they put in that cigarette that you're smoking that's not good for you. And maybe, you know, chewing on a nicotine, on a tobacco leaf here and there, maybe that's actually good for you. And maybe they knew that back in the day. That's why they were always chewing it.
Having peace pipes with the natives and everything. I'm with you on that, Rob. But let me throw something into this mix. The methylene blue that you guys have provided, I hit Alex's promo up the other day, the buy one, get one free, and get the baseball hat and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at those Sheila G. gummies. Well, my friend, I got her the methylene blue, and she thanked me for that. And actually, it has helped with some of her symptoms and remedy that as far as getting her energy and everything back up. So I'm not just somebody who takes your methylene blue. Right now, I'm actually doing your methylene methyl drive, your life force, and your Sheila G. complex is my morning wake-up combo. So let me throw this out there. You know, if methylene blue can help somebody with cancer get a little bit more pep in their step and everything, I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe InfoWars should create something. You guys, I know you had Alex's CBD gummies, for example, or something similar to that. That might be an interest, you know, what they would call in law an interest. You guys might be able to go to the Trump administration and put it more or less as a lawsuit, maybe even against the senators and congressmen who voted for that bill. They're all parties to it. You separate them from their office as individuals. They're all parties to abuse of their powers, whether it's abuse of administrative procedure, abuse of office, or just not holding up their oath to the Constitution, their constituents, and so on. So, yeah, guys, it's an info war. Support and be motivated, because this isn't time to be doom and gloom and sit on the, you know, on the sidelines. Get involved, folks.
It's not the time to sit down. It's not the time to infight. You know, people want to split gnat hairs on different issues. And it's like, you know, there's a big issue that just happened is, oh, now this plant that we've been able to grow and create industries with, now it's going to be illegal to grow. I mean, come on, people. Really? That's where we're going? In fact, guys, you guys had the hemp concrete thing. I want to play that in a little bit. The guy, he's got a torch on this hemp. They call it hempcrete, and it's basically hemp, lime, and water. Okay, those are the three ingredients. And you mix it together, and when it's in a solidified form, it breathes, it insulates, and it's fire retardant. Wow. Maybe you make your house in California out of that and not burn down. I mean, is that how I have to talk to the average Californian to get it to like get that idea across? You know, maybe you do. In fact, let's just go to the video. Let's watch the torch on the hemp wall not burn.
degrees Fahrenheit, which is nearly 1,000 degrees Celsius. Hemp Creek walls have survived over an hour of intense fire without the inside even heating up. In other words, fire might char the surface, but it won't break through. But get this, this is the part that blew me away. It's naturally a thermal insulator, so you don't need any insulation when you're building the home. It naturally has moisture control properties. It breathes, regulating humidity, and stops mold before it can even start. It's carbon negative. It absorbs CO2 as it grows. That carbon stays locked in the walls of your home. Hempcrete doesn't rot, it doesn't attract pests, and it gets stronger over time. It doesn't degrade. It literally has zero downfalls. It's not just a pipe dream either. Companies around the world are using it right now, and they're growing fast. Traditional construction relies on materials that burn, rot, or pollute. They also need to be treated with chemicals. Hemp does none of that. It's safer, stronger, and better for the planet, and yet it's still fighting for mainstream acceptance. The construction industry is slow to change, but change is coming. Imagine a future where every new suburb is fire-resistant by default, where homes breathe, last longer, and clean the air before they're even built. That's not fantasy, that's hemp. The home of the future isn't steel and glass. It's green, it's breathing, and built from plants with roots in ancient history and a future in modern construction. I do believe that. Now we just got to get to the point where people can actually afford to buy a house.
Oh, he put that in there on the end, you know. Yeah, afford to buy a house. You know, with hempcrete, you basically get the hemp, you mix it with water, you have a mixing station, and then you have people with tampers. It's basically all your friends. You get together, we're going to have a tamp party, and we're going to make our house by tamping hemp and lime and water into brick forms and building a house with it. That doesn't burn. Oh, you don't need to get the pink insulation either and put that around. Oh, my gosh. Oh, we have to ban this plan immediately. We can't have this. Mitch McConnell's like, we can't have this type of industry going on. We have to protect the kids in gas stations. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense, which is why it's gone through Congress, because opposite of progress is Congress. Sean, thanks for calling. Let's go to Karen in California, who did, I guess, did she, I don't know if she called the White House comment line or what. Tell us what happened, Karen.
Oh, no, I didn't see you telling people about the White House comment line, which is it's a very good program. I call it several times a day sometimes.
As a Karen, you're doing your duty. I appreciate that.
So we need you to get that number out so that people can call and tell them, give them their peace of mind. And they don't ask any personal information. So would you like the phone number?
Well, you know what? I just put it out. That's so funny that you called. I thought you were calling in reference to me putting it out, but I put out Pam Bondi's number, 202-514-2001, the White House switchboard, 202-456-1111, and then the main switchboard to Congress, 202-456-1414. So, yes, we put those out just a second ago when we were playing the Tita Peters clip for people to call and say, hey, get Tina Peters out of state prison, put her in federal custody under the marshals, and put her in a place where she could get medical attention and she's not working in a kitchen. 70 years old.
I've done that. I've called for her. I don't know that they get the messages, but I think if they get inundated, just keep calling.
Keep calling. Yes, I agree. Harness the power of the Karens across the nation and let's do it. Use it for something for good instead of just talking to the manager.
Yes, I agree.
Thanks for calling, Karen. Good sport. Appreciate you calling. Let's go to Alex in Northern Virginia. He's up there with the near the Richmond, north of Richmond, I guess. Are you north of Richmond?
Good morning, Rob Duell. I'm adding you to my bingo card because I haven't spoken to you yet. But no, I'm about 10 minutes outside of D.C., 7 minutes outside of Pentagon.
Okay. Well, go ahead. What you want to talk about? The H-1B visas. You need to cancel. I agree. Cancel the whole program. At least for two years. Cancel for 2 years.
I think it's going to take longer than that. I think we need to cancel the program for at least 5 years. And the reason being is because About 23 years ago, I tried to go to DeVry for 2 years. They were trying to charge me $34,000. Now, that was about 22 years ago. So imagine what it would cost right now, even if we had the money, which a lot of us don't. And a lot of that is because the past 2 decades, they've been dumbing down the American people. We've been succumbed to retarded music. And I'm going to use that word loosely because I love it. But the music is bad. Everything is bad, which has led to the American IQ dropping. And then, of course, they're going to bring in a bunch of people that can do the job instead of training us. So why is it that they can't set up these programs to train Americans to do it? Since all of these people are being returned back to their country as fast as possible, I wish it was way faster. There's going to be a whole lot of gaps in jobs. Just open up the training programs so that a lot of Americans can get in there and finally do something with themselves instead of just being stuck with some normal bullshit BS 9-to-5 job or doing lists, doing all these gig jobs wasn't even created for American people. The gig work, it was created so that these illegal immigrants can go in and have ways of making money. That wasn't made for us.
That's all done on purpose. That was done so to basically destroy the middle class. That's the end goal, is to destroy the middle class and destroy upward mobility. So you have then a class of brownish type people, and I'm putting white people in that audience. If you take black all the way to white, everybody's kind of sort of a grade of brown, and they're this lower class. And then you have these elites who are running around living the life. Going to Dubai, living in their walled-off compounds and cities with their private police forces, and everybody else has to fend for themselves, and we have robots and AI watching us, and they're living above that. And that's the society they want in the end. And what stops them from doing that? People, knowing how to do important skills, people making good money, people having families and not letting their kids be dumbed down. You talk about the dumbing down. A San Diego report indicates shocking number of students entering college in California lack eighth grade math skills. And here, I got a little math problem here for you. Let's see if you can figure this out, Alex. I'm going to put you on the spot. The UCSD math department administered a test to 138 students in a remedial math class. 25%, one quarter, got this wrong. So 7 plus 2 equals blank plus 6. What is the blank, Alex?
7 plus 2 is 9 plus 6 equals 15.
Do I win? I don't know if you can see it. 7 plus 2 equals blank plus 6. So it's an equation. You got to get these two to equal out.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. Look at that. You know what it is? There, I'm going to give you the answer. It's 3. 6 plus 3 is 9. 7 plus 2 is 9. They equal. There you go.
Look, my excuse is that I took a bong hit since it's going to be illegal soon, so I might as well go ahead and get it in there. Okay, but real quick, back in 2008, if everyone can remember, because it happened over here in Maryland, brand new houses by Ryan Holmes were being built, Victorian-style houses, $300,000.
Yeah. What are they now?
Oh, I shudder to look at the answer for that one.
Yeah, well, in Virginia, they're probably $800,000.
Oh, Virginia minimum right now for a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house is a minimum $650,000.
Yeah, exactly. And now they want to give you a 50-year, hey, we're going to give you a 50-year mortgage to pay that off, which is going to be, people don't realize that. A 50-year mortgage is not going to be the same interest rate. It's going to be a higher interest rate because it's a longer loan. You get a 15-year mortgage, you get a lower interest rate. So you're going to have a higher interest rate. You're going to be paying back way more over time. And you're going to have a higher payment because you're in a higher interest rate. So there's no win for anybody except the big banks. It's crazy. It's crazy that he would think that, this is going to make it affordable. No. J.D. Vance has it right, guys. Let's go to the J.D. Vance clip 6. Okay. He hit the nail on the head. Right here. What do we have to do to make houses affordable? Maybe get rid of the 30 million extra people that are sitting around taking up all the housing. Here's that clip.
A lot of young people are saying housing is way too expensive. Why is that? Because we flooded the country with 30 million illegal immigrants who were taking houses that ought by right go to American citizens. And at the same time, we weren't building enough new houses to begin with, even for the population that we had.
There you go. That was an interview he did on Fox News with Hannity last night.
Hey, Rob, I'm doing a great job.
How are you doing?
I'm going to do some producing here on air.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, it's my fault.
Yeah?
Your idea to have me on today with all those incredible findings you made.
Right.
And I forgot it was, I thought it was a 10 out of 9. My fault.
It's all right.
I just was tired yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guys kind of need us to go to break here soon.
Yeah.
So that they have, because there's a lot of evidence you have. We need to get it lined up. My fault because I didn't get there on time. But you made a recent, like, 5-minute news report about the Onion note saying, oh, the one thing I want in the world is it taking over Alex Jones.
Yes.
And I think you made a report on it. You know the names when you get that?
Well, there's a clip, and I think it's called Onion. You're going to have to dig for it, but it's what's that guy's name? Ben Collins clips, because it's Ben Collins at first talking with Stephanopoulos. And then it goes to that clip, and it's at the end of that clip. Yeah, and so it's also in an ad.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll just air one of those clips. And the big deal is, guys, you already know about the corruption, the fake auctions, trying to shut us down. But all the pieces just fell together now. It ties in to Cash Patel's suing all these people. It ties in to Tucker Carlson exposing the cover-up of the Thomas Crooks.
That dropped this morning.
Shooter.
Yep.
And here's the bad news. They are starting to weaponize the DOJ against Trump supporters. And it's all Todd Blanche. So we've got it right here. This is unbelievable information. Okay. And it is the outrageous 1-year anniversary of that morning. They shut us off in here. Remember, I was in here.
It was halfway through the last hour. They killed
Harrison. And so, but now it's down to the wire. There's a few chances still to save InfoWars, but they're making all the moves. But now they've been caught so red-handed. So you'll get this way. I'll just come on for 30 minutes and we'll get back to any callers.
Okay. Yep.
So I suggest we go ahead and go to promo now so we have more time.
Okay.
Right. We'll be back at 6 after. Because we need to get through all this stuff, because I need to get to everything so I can explain. This is some major findings. He was doing research for our upcoming civil rights lawsuit, conspiracy against rights, that will be filed imminently. We already have lawsuits filed against him, and we have him dead to rights. So the worm's about to turn, folks. They're in a lot of trouble. We've already deposed them, have their emails. It was all a plot, DOJ. And now the current DOJ is covering up for the old DOJ, because it's really the same DOJ. That's why this is so important. This is a major scandal. Like them suing Elijah Schaefer for saying he criticized Israel, didn't even say anything bad about her. They say that. This is the new plan for everything. Yeah. So remember, we were patient zero in their words. And then Rob was doing more research with lawyers and found a bunch of clips on them on national TV we didn't even know about. I'll repeat all this coming up.
I'm going to quote. This is a quote. Any means of preventing him from causing more harm needs to be explored.
Any means necessary. So
any means necessary.
So
right there.
Run a promo or something. We'll be right back at 6 after.
There you go. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
Very pro free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified.
Yeah. Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts, and he is crazy. He is, but you got to be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you got to be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is to unlock.
Information warfare.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but
what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
You have no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content? It is
the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Information 60 seconds away. Stay with us and share live feed now on Ask Alex Jones.
All right, launch of the third hour has commenced of the American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me to my right, the guy who started this whole thing off many, many years ago, almost 30 years ago?
31 years. 28 years old.
Yeah. Alex Jones needs no introduction. And I talked to him yesterday because we were going to do a report on this because today is actually the 1 year anniversary of when, at about 20 minutes from now, 1 year ago, they actually cut our stream. Maybe it was about 25 minutes.
They cut the internet off.
They cut the internet off. They cut everything off.
Because I refused to leave the building again.
The white screen that said, oh, you can no longer visit InfoWars. So they just preemptively took everything over without a judge's order.
That was the Justice Department.
Right, right.
And again, they didn't even have a court order. And remember, in May, 6 months before that, 8 months, whatever it was, they had armed guards come here with no court order and say, kick us out. And I called right. the security company and go, yeah, I got a woman saying she's with the Justice Department. It's just a, quote, trustee in the bankruptcy department. It's not even like an agent or a prosecutor. And we know who her name was. And she's ordering us to kick you out of the building. Now that was May 31st.
Yep.
Remember, I didn't stick cameras in the guard's face. And some listeners are like, come on, this isn't really happening. Then we go to court. They admit they all did it. Yep. It was all over the news. You know, a week later, the judge fires the U.S. trustee, fires the CRO.
Yep.
And that's a whole other story. But we've had to make like 20-something reports on each piece of that. The U.S. trustee's lawyer, attractive blonde lady, pull up her name, she was dating Judge Jones, the head Southern District of Texas bankruptcy judge, head federal judge in the district. And he was giving her $7, $8 million in business to her business while she lived with him and ruling on her cases.
Right.
So we didn't know they were under Justice Department investigation the whole time. And so all his cases, or most of them, got transferred to Judge Lopez. is he took that over. I mean, we're not saying he's corrupt. The point is, that is the nest. So the woman from the Justice Department, a trustee, you know, when you do Zoom with her, she has the U.S. seal behind her, like Chris Murray, the last one that got appointed, and then he did the fake auction and got caught and all that. This is just to give you a small piece of this. It's very small for you for the news, just to give you an idea of the magnitude. She's the one telling armed security, I mean, literally like a, basically a hijacking, in my view.
Right.
I mean, it's color of law, official oppression, you know, conspiracy against rights, trying to bluff a private security company to kick us out of the building on a Friday afternoon. It came out later, in December last year, that she was under investigation. They were deposed by the real DOJ, by the official one, and there was a huge, ongoing, still criminal investigation. So while she's under investigation by the DOJ, she's saying, I'm the DOJ, to armed guards, kick us out. I'm saying I want a court order. I'm not leaving. Of course, I was right. So there was that giant fiasco. Then the judge orders an auction, highest bidder. They don't have the auction. Basically, give it to the Democrats and Bloomberg Finance Group, Everytown Gun Confiscation Group, and The Onion as their front group, and the head censor at MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just two snapshots. Since then, we've learned the DOJ funded the whole thing, ran it over the years, coordinated the trials where I was already found guilty. They raised $300 million off my name. I never did anything that they said I did. And it just gets crazier and crazier. Gavin Oblevis, the CIA/FBI agent, gets caught on tape admitting they couldn't find anything criminal. So they went and created the Sandy Hook hoax that I did all these things I didn't do. That's the real hoax there. I believe it happened before they ever sued me, Adam Lanza, and the whole rest of it. So now that leads us up to the new developments that are gigantic. Rob is doing an investigation for the law firms that have already filed lawsuits, but to file massive civil rights violation of due process, process violations. That doesn't sound like a sexy name. That's big deal. That's rigging things. Conspiracy against rights. I mean, we have them dead to rights. We've deposed them. We have their emails. How they're like, yeah, we're not going to let Alex Jones, you know, people that like him, will keep him on the air, ever buy InfoWars. So that, I mean, they're just caught doing fake auctions.
And they don't want money.
And I can tell you, this has been kicked out of Lopez's court now. He finally kicked it out, even though he'd been blocking him for a while. When I didn't even know about this, and it's going to break soon, there wasn't just the DOJ stuff going on that you heard about, them sending stuff to the head FBI agent in Connecticut that admitted he went and created all this with the FBI. Okay? Not just that individual separate from Oblevis. But there's another investigation going on with what happened in the bankruptcy court with Chris Murray and these people. And so now we've learned from journalists in D.C. that showed me the information, like the actual stuff going on. I have to stop there, that the DOJ showed them, but said, you know, just wait, this is going to come out, and just let Alex know about this. And it's not the task force people think. There's quite a few good groups up there now. And then I talked to an FBI high-level informant yesterday that just met with the FBI in D.C. on a totally separate matter that is just unbelievable when this breaks. But we came up in it again in a secret CIA FBI server farm and at a CIA base on the East Coast. And in the investigation, they found out that, wait till you get this, Norm Pattis didn't accidentally ever send that stuff to them. No. And
wow.
So this is just all coming out.
It was delivered on a bow tie.
Oh, well, you know how this stuff works. You know, we've happened to businesses we know where people get into your email. It looks like you, and then you get into somebody's servers. You get into the email as if they're them. You add it into a thing and then send it. I mean, we're not saying any of the plaintiffs or them.
Wow.
This was just that we know out of this CIA base that sure was doing it.
Yeah.
Whoever was doing it, our friends at the CIA. So more and more of this is just coming.
There's
to
no way they wrote Jeffrey Epstein emails either and inserted those. There's no way that happened,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, well, here's another thing. Remember, they get all our emails like 5-6 years ago during discovery. Anything with Sandy Hook, dozens of search terms. We give them all the unopened emails, and then they find magic hidden links to child porn.
Yeah.
So they can then run the headline that we sent child porn to the Sandy Hook families. No, they sued us. The judge said, give us unopened emails, 300-something thousand of them. They get them, then forensically scan them, find hidden links and unopened emails, run headlines that I'm sending out child porn. And to the FBI's credit, Connecticut, they gave us a letter saying, no, you're the victim of it. So at least they did that. I'm damn right we're a victim of it. So, yeah, I can go on for hours, folks. That's the problem of this, is I haven't gotten to the new information. So there's just a few little tidbits. What I just told you is maybe 10%, okay? And there's other wilder stuff that I've not been asked to tell anybody at this point about what went on with the previous trustees and the previous CRO that is just unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about, I wish I could tell you. So they don't care, though, after they got embarrassingly caught in a fake auction, after they learn that the DOJ is looking into them, after all this stuff happens, they're just barreling forward thinking that if they can get InfoWars now and still give it to The Onion and Bloomberg, and they've been doing interviews, as you know, we played them, saying, if you were God for a day, if there was one thing you could do in the world, what would it be? I want InfoWars. And they say, to misrepresent us, to pose as us, and put out disinfo in my name. And they told the federal court when this came up, they're trying to say they own my name. Last June, the June 14th hearing, they did a filing. Bloomberg picked it up saying the 13th Amendment against slavery does not apply to Alex Jones. It's a special circumstance.
Right.
They didn't describe why. So they say, we're going to own his name. We're going to say we're him. And we're going to say outrageous stuff. They literally want to own my identity and wear my skin to misrepresent me. That's the key to censorship. They don't just censor you, folks, when you're prominent. They then misrepresent you.
They're like political skinwalkers, essentially.
Yes, shapeshifters. Yeah. It's like the thing. And remember, they said, Charlie got killed. The Onion said, oh, we're now going to act like we're him and say things in his words and then not even say it's satire.
Right.
You're just supposed to know that because it says the Onion.
Yeah, they'll be like, it's not AI because we made this.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't say it's AI. No, we produced this and we're saying this is what Charlie said.
So that's the whole strategy now, is what they call ethereal messaging, not subliminal. Ethereal. Look how many times you see on Google or CNN a headline on the front page that says something outrageous. When you click it, that's not even in the article or the headline.
Right.
And then that's ethereal. That's what that term in psychological warfare is called. So, just folks, this is so unbelievable. So we got a lot of clips and not a lot of time to get there.
Yeah.
Here's the new information. Rob Dew, because what's old's new, was for these lawsuits we're preparing, was going through all this for the law firms. And he found even more outrageous stuff of them on national TV, saying their mission, any means necessary to take us out, on and on and on. They're going to misrepresent us and say they're us. I mean, this is 100% in a real court. They are, okay? Their only hope is to shut down the new operation that's coming out so there's not money for the legal battles. Well, we got all the sponsors, all the backers lined up. They understand that. They understand that it's total war. And we're on the offense here. So that's why when you support us, theAlexJonesStore.com, it goes to the new Alex Jones Network, keep us on air. It's still keeping InfoWars on air. And it's funding all this fight. So we're winning, just like America is, but we haven't won the war yet. So this now ties into Elijah Schaefer, who got sued over the weekend, popular talk show host, for posting and I showed this yesterday in the lawsuit, we have an overhead shot right here, for posting a photo of Kash Patel and his girlfriend, here it is right here. You can pull it up on X. I posted this on X. Of him and his girlfriend did not even say that she was an Israeli agent, but they say in the lawsuit, because he's criticized Israel before, they want his whole company and they want him off the air and $5 million. They actually say that, and they say because he did microaggressions. They actually used leftist terms. This is Kash Patel's foundation law firm, FBI law firm, the one he uses to sue everybody. And this is the FBI director, really through his girlfriend, suing people. They're also suing FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin. Here's the photo. That's all he did was that. It is absolutely total bonker land, but this is Todd Blanche. And it's also come out from FBI agents and other suits that Kash Patel tells them to go out and sue people, just like they got the chief counsel in Connecticut to sue me. And he went out, I never said his name, and he went out and got the, quote, families and Koskov law firm with the former federal prosecutor there that was running it, Chris Matty, to do this. So it's the same story, over and over and over again, and this guy wins $100-something million that I don't have. I never said his name. The crew never said his name, any of this. This is the level of crazy. So that's the model now of lawfare, is the old FBI and now the Democrats, the new FBI, with Todd Blanche, you know, Democrat lawyer of the Southern District of New York, former prosecutor, going after everybody with FBI agents. So now you go become an FBI agent so you can sue people that have done nothing wrong. And it's a whole new franchise business model. And the FBI and the CIA behind the scenes know which courts to go to, know which networks to go to. They've got these court societies all over for federal and state where they all go to cocktail parties. And it's like lodges. They have hotel rooms, everything, you name it. And they brag. When you come here, you get access to everyone. You get access to all the businesses, all the plaintiffs, all the things. You can talk off the record.
All the kickbacks.
I mean, they advertise that this is where you engage in this. So this is the model. A bunch of lawyers, prosecutors, judges, and PR people all getting together, and they've graduated more lawyers the last 40 years in the history of the United States, and this is taking over society. Okay, this is the model. This isn't going in anywhere. This is total weaponization of the courts at levels never before seen anywhere, with the media and HBO producing it, you know, all of it. So now the new information, we'll have to go a little bit to the next segment here. I've got to go do my broadcast at 11, but this is just so massive. It's so important. And then you found a lot more clips, even worse than the previous ones,
yeah,
and all the things that they've done. And then now you've got Tucker Carlson's new documentary dropping of how they totally covered up Crooks and how they know he was an operative. And now there was no internet data on him. That's totally impossible, and no metadata on his phones, even though they have it. And now they're coming after Tucker for that. And then Massey says they've talked to the high-level whistleblowers that are being targeted for exposing the identity of the pipe bomber. That's reportedly a federal agent, now CIA. See what's happening here?
Yeah.
And then Cash is in there covering that up. I'm not happy about this. I didn't want to attack Cash Patel. I wanted to believe in him. But obviously, he's super compromised. Bongino is an attack dog behind the scenes, all over the place, going after journalists that even question Charlie Kirk. I mean, very well-known ones. He calls them, yelling at him. When we were there, we were getting told about it in Maine. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Massey said, boom, Bongino, you know, called him and also sent him a, you know, letter he published saying, hey, you know, basically don't look into this. Oh, no, that whistleblower telling you that this is the pipe bomber or that we're persecuting him, you know, they have proof. They're full of it. Just like, listen, you can trust me. I was a Secret Service agent. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. You can trust me. Crooks acted alone. You can trust me. Nothing going on with Kirk. And I caught people that were in the cabinet meeting and later broke months after I broke it that Cash Patel was screaming at Tulsi Gabbard saying, your Office of National Intelligence that was created by Congress for 9/11 to share information with the FBI, we don't want you looking into any accomplices, domestic or foreign, on Kirk. And I broke that back in mid-September, like a week and a half after, I broke like the 18th. And then, of course, it all came out a few weeks ago, exactly as I said. I mean, these people are like bad, bad, bad. And everybody else is scared of them because they say they're thin-skinned and they'll come after us. Well, that's what I do, is I go after people. I mean, I can't sit here with all this overwhelming evidence of people being bad and being the Legion of Doom when they're supposed to be, you know, with the Justice League or whatever you call it. I mean, I just got to call it.
Well, and what's crazy is Bongino and Cash were going around on podcasts, and Bongino's own podcast, talking about how they were going to change things. They were going to fix these problems that were broken. They were going to go after these people, and now they're just falling right in line.
Well, so, Cash, remember, said we need to get rid of the FBI building in D.C. That's mainly intelligence, because the FBI shouldn't be involved in all this intelligence. It shouldn't be 60% intelligence. It should be mainly 10%, and that's only criminal. We should get our information from the National, you know, Office of National Intelligence and the subgroups and the threat fusion centers. And now he's publicly telling Congress and others, no, I don't want these intelligence agencies that have this data looking at anything inside the U.S. because they don't want to be looked at. Because Trump's using Tulsi Gabbard. That's how he's getting all the stuff on Crossfire Hurricane and on Arctic Frost and getting them. Because it's all there. Because they've been storing it.
And he's got people literally he installed in working against him.
And exactly. and they've got warrants for all this. So they're inside all of Jack Smith's communications, inside all their crap, and they've got them. They're handing it out to prosecutors, and the prosecutors are resigning because they're scared or they're deep staters. So they're having to fill those things in. But here's the difference. The deep state knows Trump's moving, And that's why we've already seen three big indictments and a lot more about to happen. But that's what makes the deep state so dangerous, is because they know we're closing in. But here's the deal. With InfoWars case, and it came out in Arctic Frost that Jack Smith was targeting, all my crew and me specifically to be shut down, and they found nothing, of course, and they were going through all our communications and everything else without warrants. It's totally illegal, using civil cases to get the information. And so that's where we are right now. This is a smoking gun case, and that's why Ed Martin was interested in it and was digging into it, is because they were very sloppy. They were extremely sloppy with us. And so they didn't cover their tracks very well. And then Todd Blanche comes out and kills one of the investigations and says, Alex Jones is fringe. We shouldn't help him. ABC News. Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
So he's literally showing his Democrat Party instincts that I mean, I could be a horrible person. I don't deserve to have my rights violated like this, but I didn't even do the things they said. They raised all this money off me. So they need to get control of this place so they can misrepresent me and so they can try to turn it around and say, look, we finally did get it. See, it was legitimate. Our auction was legitimate. All the rest of that. And they have a state receiver appointed under Judge Ware Gamble, who ran the show trial for HBO. And then they've been in here in the building in the last 3 weeks, in here categorizing stuff. We don't know. They can shut us down next week, next month. I'm not being mean to the receiver. It's just a court-appointed deal. You know, I'm not being mean to the guys that are here from the auction. They said they're going to have another auction. You know, that's going to be staged, probably. I'm not saying they will, but that's how, you know, the plaintiffs with the judge will do it. Because Lopez, federal judge, had no part of it and said this is bull crap, and you didn't have an auction with Gamble. I mean, this woman will do anything.
Oh, yeah. The judge who defaulted you first, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. So they're closing in on us. Yeah, we've lasted a lot of rounds, but all I'm just saying is this is outrageous, and these new clips, well, let's start getting to the clips. These are really, really important.
I think we ought to just start with the first one, and it's in the longer version, but let's just play clip number five again. We played this earlier today about how any means necessary they have to.
Tell folks who this is.
Yeah, this is, let's see, this is Jordan LaFleur, the executive editor of The Onion. He's got balding with a beard. And there he is, and he's got these weird eyes out. He's looking up and down and stuff. But any means of preventing him from causing more harm need to be explored, is what he says. That's his quote.
And then they say they want money. Oh, he won't give us money. Well, they want to destroy the means of the money when I never did anything to him. See, that's another deception of the press. Go ahead, play it.
Yeah, here's the clip.
Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of preventing him from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good.
Is there a longer clip you said?
This is the one that I think is just more important. I've got a whole longer clip of it. But this one, any means of preventing him from causing more harm need to be explored. They're basically saying whatever we want to do. Whatever, BAM is called by any means necessary. So it's the same mindset of violence, subterfuge, stealing, planning stuff on you, anything.
This is Antifa talk.
Well, exactly.
Remember what the MSNBC censor, you know, the head of The Onion said. Stephanopoulos goes, well, how could you have a lower bid that's secret win and it be a real auction? And he says, it's Alex Jones. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on. We don't have to. I mean, it's Alex Jones. Open season, baby.
And I think we should go, and we'll play more of this later. It's a longer clip, but the start of the Jake Tapper clip is interesting, too, where they say they're going to pave you over, and they show the blank screen. He goes, oops, Alex Jones is gone. So let's go to that one. This is the one with Jake Tapper on the Onion Takeover, clip three.
Our Law and Justice lead, where the story itself serves a kind of poetic justice. The Onion, the satirical website and newspaper, The Onion has taken over the website InfoWars. Of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting being not real. Those conspiracy theories led to tormenting people, Jones's fans tormenting the parents of the people murdered in that horrific shooting. Online abuse, they were trying to mourn their children's death. Some of them had to move. Eight of the Sandy Hook families who were maliciously targeted by Alex Jones' conspiracies actually backed The Onion's bid, securing this victory in their long fight for accountability. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable till further notice. With insights into that further notice, two of the leaders behind it all, Ben Collins, CEO of The Onion, and John Feinblatt, president of... Every Town for Gun Safety, an organization, works closely with the many of the CEO's
let's go to break, because these are clips, because nobody watches CNN. These are clips when we come back that only their tiny audience saw, but these are the perpetrators. These are the bad guys. And, you know, here they are. We'll come back and see what they said a year ago today. Totally discredited, totally exposed. You just heard a small part of what's been going on. But notice what Tapper kept saying. All that stuff was put in pleadings where I was already found guilty. They never showed any evidence. None of it was true, any of it. And then they just say it, that my followers did all this and people did all this. Totally. And then we ask, who are the followers? They can never say, well, who told you? I don't know. It was rumors of rumors of rumors, and the judge would shut it down. She only had a little bit of a fake trial. We're already guilty, but a little bit to make it look like for TV it was real. But every time we started exposing it, they'd shut it down. We'll be right back with more of this. This is really, really important. But bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, they're closing in on us, but they're stepping into a bear trap.
Final segment here on the American Journal. I'm joined with Alex Jones. We're going over the latest in this onion trying to take over InfoWars with the DOJ assisting and just other... I mean, it just gets insane the more you look at it. And I've been looking at this for years, and we're finding new clips of them the day we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of our closure, which didn't happen. We're still here.
And you're to the worst part. Oh, we're going to destroy them. We're going to pave over them.
Oh, yeah, we're going to pave over them. We've got the head censor over at MSNBC now working for The Onion.
You do a great job. I'm going to get out of here so you can sum this up, because you've researched with the lawyers. You know more about this than I do. Rob Due knows more than all the lawyers combined, me, because he's been the guy during the fight that had to organize all this stuff the last 6-7 years.
I mean, and it's a lot of stuff.
And I want to commend you. Well, so I'm going to let you finish up, but yeah. I want to just say this in summation myself before we get to all this. I'm a happy warrior. I'm lucky that they were unable to ever indict me. They sure tried. I'm lucky they haven't killed me. I'm lucky I haven't been Charlie Kirk. So thank you all for keeping us in the fight. This is all our shared fight together, and I love you, listeners, viewers. I love the crew and all the great work they've done and putting up with me. I love you, Rob. I really, you're a brother. And we are all in the brotherhood and sisterhood of liberty and freedom under Christ. And I just want to commend and thank all of you from the bottom of my heart. I want to say this to Evil. We're never giving up. We're never quitting. And you notice the longer this goes, the more comes out about you, the more you get exposed. And in the court of public opinion, 90%+ of the comments, even on YouTube, not just X, are against you. The public knows a lot of this. Okay. And the bottom line is Todd Blanche, Democrat lawyer, been Trump's lawyer, so he trusted him, has been up there blocking everything. And that is from every sector in the DOJ. He is super bad. And I even got reached out to a few days ago about, oh, be nice. You know, maybe Todd Blanche wants to meet with you. He's really a friend. And that's so he can tell Trump, no, I'm being nice. This is what they do. They're totally two-faced. And they're getting major heat. But not just off what they've done to InfoWars. They're doing it to everybody. And now Kash Patel, it's a big scandal, is going around through his FBI law firm, his foundation, suing people for nothing. So this is the same system, the same thing. So I guarantee you, big sectors of the DOJ are still investigating Trump. They've still got, they totally had stay behind people confirmed with Arctic Frost, the rest of it, and then after that, in Trump's first admin. So this is a big problem. InfoWars is just a canary in the coal mine. And these people, make sure you play the clip again, too, where the Onion idiot, the Bloomberg front guy says, oh, the one thing I want in the world is InfoWars.
Yeah.
And they're closing in, okay? And if they get it, that's fine. It's just a name and it's a studio. The InfoWar belongs to you. It's a generic term. But it'll be about total harassment, misrepresenting us, and the fight will just intensify. But we're not giving up. We're not pulling any punches. We're not taking a dive here. And it's been your support that has held us through all of this. And the 25 million we've spent in 7-8 years battling back against they filed last year in federal court that all the legal fees, including the main Democrat Party law firm Paul Weiss against InfoWars and myself, has been $322 million. $322 million spent. That was a year ago. So with $25 million, and that's we just did the accounting yesterday, it came in. And the lawyers were okay before. They should know what they were getting into. People didn't understand how this all worked at that point. But I really got veteran star lawyers who are tough and are willing to be sanctioned.
And they're awake now, well, too. They're like, wow, this is real. You know, this is everything you've said is now we're seeing it in real time happening. So I think it's really shook them.
They've said it shook them.
Yeah.
And now they've got people in their law firms that like aren't even billing us, and they're just working on. They're obsessed with it now
because it's like, the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, it's real tyranny. I mean, we've been suing them and deposing them all over the country. I mean, the stuff I can't tell you, folks. We've had people give us information from the inside that, you know, feel bad about this. We've even had some we haven't reached back out to. We need to do that. But, I mean, this is bad. And if they think getting this will legitimize all the stuff they've done, it just makes it 10 times worse. And I know that's how God works in mysterious ways. But so, Rob.
Yeah,
let's start the Jake Tapper clip from the beginning so it's congruent.
Okay.
And then you just go ahead and take over, and I'll be on my broadcast in 23 minutes. And then we're going to take all this you've done today live, edit it down, add the clips,
More
of the documents for things I just said, so you'll see the proof of, wait, the U.S. trustee from the Justice Department had a relationship with a federal judge over cases. He gave her millions of dollars. And then while she was under criminal investigation, she called and tried to shut us down in May last year with no court order. That's DOJ, folks. And they even bragged. The former CRO to the security, head security guy, others. Well, we got together with the plaintiffs and decided it's just time to shut it down.
Yep.
Because I was starting to speak out against it as I learned more of this. And so they're like, well, yeah, we know the judge says it's in bankruptcy and you're going to sell it and stay on the air. Nope. We made the decision you're off the air.
Yep.
And we're with the Justice Department, so shut his ass off. No court order. I mean, this is serious crap. This is, I mean, if I said I owned something and showed up with armed guards with no court order, I mean, I'd be in federal prison. I mean, they got a name for that. That's official oppression. That's a false imprisonment. That's what it's called when a cop off duty or outside of his prerogative, you know, you've seen this where the cop pulls over the hot chick and, you know, tells her he's got to, you know, go have drinks with her or whatever, or worse. That's official oppression. That's the other term is false imprisonment. And, I mean, this is what you call it, hijacking, highwaymen. But thank God this armed security is like, yeah, actually, there needs to be an order. I was like, yeah, I'm calling the police. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
Remember, I slept up here a few days?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, their next move will be they'll try to send in another private security firm. And sure as hell, they did.
Yep.
But that security firm was smart enough to make calls to the other security firm to find out what's going on because it sounded weird to them. What? Okay, what's the order? Well, no, you just go in.
We're just telling you.
You understand? DOJ, bitch.
And they were,
telling
employees, they're like, don't even bother coming in next week. You're going to be shut down. All this stuff. It's just like, well, wait, how are we shut down? Like, we're supposed to have a plan to continue to go on.
And that's separate from the fake auction.
Exactly. The fake auction is like act two of that.
That's in November. This is in May.
Yeah.
I mean, these people are just, and we haven't told you the worst stuff yet. We're holding that ace of spades back.
It's incredible.
Just wait till they shut this place down and we bring out the ace of spades.
Right.
Because it's even more powerful then. They got caught in some bad, bad stuff. And just because you think Todd Blanch is protecting you, no, sir. No, sir. And President Trump has taken an interest to this. So, and there's a huge Epstein stuff exploding exactly as I said it would. I'll be covering that. Rob, do take over.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go back to we'll start with the Jake Tapper clip at the top again, where he celebrates the closure of InfoWars and with a fake closure because we were back on air the next day. So we're going to go to that, and we'll get to the clip where the Onion CEO says we're going to pave over the InfoWars universe, and then how they're going to take that and reassess it and do parodies, and then we're going to get to the Onion's executive editor, too. And then I got a couple phone calls I'll get to at the very end, so you guys just hang tight. Let's go to that clip with Tapper.
Turn now to our Law and Justice lead, where the story itself serves a kind of poetic justice. The Onion, the satirical website and newspaper, The Onion has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting being not real. Those conspiracy theories led to tormenting people, Jones's fans tormenting the parents of the people murdered in that horrific shooting. Online abuse, they were trying to mourn their children's death. Some of them had to move. 8 of the Sandy Hook families who were maliciously targeted by Alex Jones' conspiracies actually backed the Onion's bid, securing this victory in their long fight for accountability. Jones responded on social media today saying this.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable till further notice. With insights into that further notice, two of the leaders behind it all, Ben Collins, CEO of The Onion, and John Feinblatt, president of Every Town for Gun Safety, an organization works closely with the many of the Sandy Hook families, to prevent future such tragedies. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world where hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is, or you'll think of this new site. We're going to go after all the conditions that Alex Jones creates to sell his supplements and do all of those things. I think, Jake, you know, we're all on social media. We're all on TikTok and Instagram, and there are a million little Alex Joneses out there, each selling their own supplement or making you drink raw milk or something. They're trying to get you afraid of something, and they're trying to sell you the solution. And our new website is going to tackle exactly that. Once we get it in our control, which is hopefully very soon, you guys can see what we have cooked up.
So, John, tell us what it's like for the families who lost their kids, had to deal with Alex Jones lying about the shooting, his fans and supporters tormenting them. And what's your response to Alex Jones saying he's going to be there till the lights are turned off?
Well, look, I think that we all know that Alex Jones visited unspeakable harm to the Sandy Hook families. And from our point of view, if we could give them 1 ounce of satisfaction, 1 ounce of restitution, this was worth it to us. And look, some people think that the alliance between Everytown and The Onion is strange bedfellows. We think just the opposite. Look, at our fingertips, Everytown's got the facts and the research and the stories and the data, but what The Onion brings
gun grabbers and censors go together, you know, because you got to shut people up and so you can grab their guns. And then once you grab their guns, they can never speak again. You see, that's how it works. So it does make it is perfect bedfellows for a group like The Onion who wants to literally traffic in disinformation and call it satire. That's what they want to do, in my opinion. They want to do that. And then you have John Feinblatt, head of Everytown for Gun Safety, basically going, yeah, and we want to grab people's guns because, you know, if somebody gets shot, it's not the fault of the shooter. It's the fault of the gun. So we're going to put, I'll put the whole thing out in the final version of this. We'll just add that. But let's go to this other clip we found. And this happened a few days after. This is dated November 19th, 2024. So they're still in that mindset that they're going to own InfoWars at that time because we hadn't had the December, I think it was December 10th or 11th when we had the hearing. It might have gone from the 10th into the 11th because he finally made his ruling late in the night on on whether this auction was real or not. And the judge ended up ruling it wasn't a real auction because the highest bidder didn't win it and cash is king. And they had some weird algorithm that they're like, well, you know, they're going to get rid of some of their judgment that they hadn't even received yet. They're going to vacate that in order to give that to The Onion so they can have enough money to buy this. It's convoluted. I can't even explain it right because it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. So here we are. This is from PBS. And, you know, this is what they were so happy they were going to get rid of us. And we're still here a year later. It is number one, clip one.
Local news site The Onion is buying InfoWars, the website founded by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. And no, it's
That's
not
what
a
they
joke.
Put on their website.
The
right
purchase
there.
Happened in a bankruptcy auction held after Jones was ordered to pay $1.5 billion in a defamation lawsuit brought by families of Sandy Hook victims. But Jones and company are fighting back, claiming fraud and collusion. Joining us now with more is Jordan LaFleur, executive editor of The Onion. Welcome to Chicago Tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks
executive
for having me.
Weasel.
So why did The Onion want to buy InfoWars?
Why not? I mean, it was just such a rare opportunity. And, you know, internally, when it became when we became aware that it was a possibility, we just immediately latched onto the idea that it would be the funniest possible thing that we could do. We are resourced appropriately. We are eager, and I think it's just going to be the funniest thing ever.
What is the plan?
And
for
nobody's
the
gone to our site.
Well,
in years,
I mean,
so we
it's in need of a new coat of paint. I'll tell you that. You know, obviously, supporting it as is not on the roadmap. It is a just a house of lies and fear mongering, and we think it would be better served by something other than that. So we intend to satirize and parody the larger ecosystem of mis and disinformation.
So what kind of, I mean, Onion, The Onion is known for its headlines. What can we kind of expect from a InfoWars by the Onion
sure.
website.
I mean, we're having meetings on this just today. I think the best way that I would phrase it is that the Onion is known to be more of an institutional voice. So that's kind of a monolith, faceless organization. One thing that's exciting for me creatively and for the whole team is that InfoWars will give us the opportunity to speak in the voice of particular characters. And so, you know, there will be a whole host, a litany of characters that we can use to parody the existing site.
Characters whose thinking and speaking might be something like Alex Jones and those who listen to him?
Yes, utterly unhinged, fear-mongering, and ultimately just an attempt to sell you ineffective brain pills. Yes.
So Alex Jones, he's still finding a way to peddle his, you know, his conspiracy theorists without owning InfoWars. He has said that he's got a new thing all set up and ready to go. Was there hope that, you know, that buying his site might be able to block him from causing more harm?
I mean, any means of preventing from causing more harm ought to be explored. But no, I think the important part here was to take the brand and use it for good. You know, a man of his constitution, as we knew would be impossible to silence utterly. We look forward to using the brand for something other than he would have liked.
And as we mentioned, InfoWars and other of Jones' assets.
We'll play more of that later. I'll just put it on the video so you can see the whole thing, because it just goes on and on. Then they talk about how they're going to go after Trump in his second term. And there's nothing about humor in there. It's about how do we destroy people from talking? And he talks about doing things in different characters. Okay. We had the Ben Collins said, you know, we're going to take Charlie Kirk and we're going to create new messages that he might have said or that he could have said in the future but we're going to attribute that to Charlie Kirk so we can steal his identity. There's one right there. Charlie Kirk in his own words. We honor the right-wing activists by making up quotes that sound much better given the moment. See that? The Onion magazine. You see what they're going to do? But you can't do that unless you silence people. And that's why we're not going to be silenced. We're going to keep talking, and we're going to be that counterpoint. We've been granted access back onto the X platform. That's been a huge success. You know, they hate that. They hate because they can't sit there and go, oh, now you can't speak, and we're going to speak for you. They cannot do that. All right, we got about 8 minutes left. I got two calls, and then I'll hit a couple more news stories. In fact, we'll talk. Trump's put out a couple tweets this morning about the latest Epstein information. I don't know how far this is going to go, but he said, I will be asking AG Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice, together with our great patriots at the FBI, to investigate Jeffrey Epstein's involvement and relationships with Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, Reid Hoffman, JP Morgan Chase, and many other people and institutions. What's the group back out east? It's the big college out there. They have the media room. I forget their name. It's not coming to me right now, but he was working with them. This is his brother talks about meeting Jeffrey Epstein and then going back to his wife saying, I've met somebody who is a created individual. He's not a real person. He's like this thing that's been created to basically just get money and, you know, flow money to different places. So this is another Russia scam with all arrows pointing to the Democrats. You know, he didn't want to release it. But now they're releasing it, and I was like, okay, fine. Let's investigate. Let's see where it goes. So maybe this was the point all along. And I was willing to give Trump the benefit of a doubt on this, on the Epstein thing. And it looks like they may have fallen into his trap. So let's go to our callers. We got Sean in Minnesota. Wants to talk about the AI bubble. We were talking about that earlier in the show. Go ahead, Sean, and then we'll go to Clown Car.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Oh, wow. That's great news. Just all this coming out, what you've done, like what Alex said. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's interesting. There's just little tidbits that I'm picking up with what Alex was discussing about maybe potentially, and I don't know, you know, how it plays out. But I mean, just I'll put it this way, is I feel like the CIA is more involved in foreign affairs. So that's kind of interesting. That it's
well, they're supposed
domestic.
To be. They're only supposed to operate on foreign soil.
Yeah, exactly. So that's interesting.
Unless it's Alex Jones, he's a special case because we demonized him. So now we can go after him because we demonized him.
Because he exposes us and the truth. And yeah, we can't have that. Oh, no. So it's great that Tulsi's where she's at and the access that she has, NSA, huge factor. You have RFK Jr. there doing an awesome job. And Tom Holman, I mean, I think he's done. That's just a whole nother thing. So you have three great guys there. And then you have all this, what we were, you know, you're going to have foxes in the hen house, right? You know that you're going to have people that, whether it be that they are actually on board with it or they're just, you know, pawns, whatever it is, it's the fact of the matter is that can you imagine what Trump could accomplish without all of this nonsense?
Oh, yeah, with these judges blocking every move he makes. They got judges blocking him. Every time he turns around, there's a judge going, nope, you can't do that. And then they have to go to court and fight it. So everything's getting – it's all about running out the clock because they go, oh, all we got to do is hold him off for 4 years. Now 3 years. All we got to do is hold him off just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. So, you know, the paper, instead of going right into the inbox, oh, it just doesn't get put in the inbox till 3 days later. You know, and that's how they run it out. These bureaucrats know how to do it. It's disgusting.
It's effective, and they know how to do it. And my thing with the AI bubble is more so of just exposing what's going on. I think when you're forced to deal with people that are questionable and the technocrats, Larry Ellison, I mean, you have Sam Altman, you know, his CFO came out and slipped. There was a little bit of a slip of the tongue there where she, you know, said backed government bailout type of terminology. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he comes out and says, whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're too big to fail. Yeah, we're too big to fail. If AI fails, then the whole economy is going to go into shambles.
What does that tell us as humans, right? Cart before the horse. You're doing things that are telling us that we are not reliable. For example, Bill Gates saying that in 10 years, we won't need as many lawyers or doctors.
Yeah, it'll all be AI. They're just using the lawyers now to go after people who are speaking the truth. And once they're done with their job, they're going to be cast aside. They don't realize that.
Exactly. His big thing, it opened my mind up when he did an interview and he was talking about his relationship with OpenAI and what he kind of felt as initially. He was like, playing it off maybe as, oh, it's not that great. And then the big one was the AP biology exam when AI proved to him, you know, who knows if it was, you know, already known, but he had said, oh, if it can pass that test, which is a scientific biological exam of having all of, you know, the insight. And what does that tell you? I mean, he's talking about getting rid of doctors. So people that are, you know, we need more Mike Adams in the world of what he's doing with AI, not Sam Altman's.
We need more people not educated in the Rockefeller system of we can only prescribe you drugs from pharmaceutical companies. Thanks for calling, Sean. I got last caller here, Clown Car. Is he ready to go? Let's bring him on. Clown Car, I want to talk about RFK and the vaccines. Go ahead, Clown Car.
Captain Clown Car, report of duty. Rob Ducher.
How you doing?
So, I had a problem with the RFK situation with him going back to the 3-in-1 vaccination, which I found very dangerous considering I believe it killed my son 10 hours after he was given the shot. But I also want to touch on something else pretty important. CJ, if you could, go to your Instagram real quick and pull up the video I just sent you. So what I'm going to talk about right now is we have a situation where Mondani is being backed by the whole Jewish community now. They're saying that his grandmother was 100% Jewish and that his mother was 100% Jewish. Therefore, in Jewish law, he is 100% Jewish. So, you know, he's never really come out and claimed this whole thing aside from his rap song where he talks about Holy Land 5.
Well, you know, he just said he wasn't going to visit Israel. That was one thing he said. That was the big thing that put him on the map. He's like, I'm not going to visit Israel. I'll talk to my Jewish colleagues here. And then there's pictures of him shaking hands and having dinner with a bunch of Jews in New York.
Yes, that's my video. It's got over 700,000 views. Now, listen, that thing you just said about not visiting Israel, did you hear what he said if Netanyahu comes to New York City?
He said he's going to arrest him, right?
Arrested for crimes against humanity. Is that amazing, Rob?
Right. Very
now,
interesting.
Where does a local leader have that kind of say? Remember the time when we have, like, state mayors saying, we're going to go to war with Russia? Remember that? And everybody's like, oh, my God, we're going to war with Russia. I've seen a politician say it. And there was, like, a mayor of, like, some whacked-out town. Remember that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what I wanted to say is if Mondani did get his U.S. citizenship by saying that he, you know, loves America and this and that. Well, he doesn't. And according to what I just heard a few days ago, there was a press conference hearing at the White House, and they said, we're going to have all these people vetted. We're going to make sure they're not supporting or saying that they're part of any terrorist group. Meanwhile, Mondani says he supports Holy Land 5, and he tells people to look it up. And when you look up Holy Land 5, what do you find, Rob?
Well, I also heard a rumor that he was going to stop working with any Jewish-owned or Israeli-owned banks or Israeli-backed banks. So it's definitely interesting doings going on in New York City. This is a big prize for the globalists to get the Big Apple. Thanks for calling, Clown Car. Thanks to everybody else for calling. Thanks to the crew. Thanks for Alex Jones for coming in here. And we'll be back Monday. We'll see you then. I'll be right here.